Good morning. It is 9:05, Wednesday, June 19th, 2013. I will call the Dallas City Council meeting for today to order. To begin our meeting, I'm welcoming Reverend Robert C. Fries of Zion Lutheran Church. He is the senior pastor, and he was born and raised in Austin, so he's a native Texan, and joined the Zion congregation in 1990. He served previously for 17 years at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Illinois, a 1973 graduate of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. He also earned the Doctor of Ministry degree in 1981 at Drew University in Madison, New Jersey. As part of Zion's mission ministry, Pastor Priest has led work trips to their sister parishes in Guadalajara and Monterey and journeyed to Nigeria and India on teaching, preaching missions, traveled to Cuba to participate in the building of Lutheran churches, and took an initiating role in the formation of the Lutheran Inner City Network Coalition. Pastor Priest serves as the Vice President of the Texas District, LCMS, served a region that includes 110 congregations in the northern part of the state. And since I've become mayor, I don't think we've had a Lutheran minister here, so I think you're the first one, and I'm glad to have you here. It's a great church and a great denomination. Following a Reverend Priest's invocation, Ms. Coop will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand.
Thanks, sir. Honorable Mayor, respected members of the City Council, and to all here present, good morning. It is always a humbling and high honor and privilege to pray for the public servants of this city. So with a good courage, let us all press on for the right and the true, hearing the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and Holy Scripture, lovingly but firmly commanding, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. For thus says the Lord, come now. Let us reason together. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God and Father, we thank and praise you for the many ways you have providentially blessed our beloved city of Dallas. Deepen, we pray, the roots of our shared and common life. May your everlasting righteousness be among us, lest your blessing be withdrawn. Make us all equal to our several high callings, positions, and trusts. Reverent in the use of precious and hard-earned freedom, even as we mark this day, Juneteenth, a true celebration of freedom. Bless us also with the exercise of merciful influence, and enable us to be truly generous in the protection of those who know all too well of poverty and suffering. Inspire by your Holy Spirit the men and women who direct this city, that they may by your divine providence guide wisely and well, hopefully and helpfully. Grant insight and faithfulness indeed to all here present, and may our deepest trust be ever in you. And I pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Ms. Coop.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend, and beautiful, beautiful prayer. On the last meeting of five important council people. And we're going to be talking about that in a moment. But let us proceed to our open microphone speakers.
Good morning. Your morning speakers will be as follows: Lilando Gonzalez, Anthony Rios, Eddie Protz, Jada Wooten, and Judd Bradbury. I'll now recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council or while attending the city council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant-at-arms is so directed by the presiding officer. And the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timers on both walls. When your time is up, please allow the next speaker their turn and address all comments to Mayor Rawlings. Your first speaker is Lelando Gonzalez. Mr. Gonzalez will be followed by Anthony Rios, Eddie Probst, Jada Wooten, and Judd Bradbury. Please state your name and address for the record, and you may begin.
Good morning. My name is Lee Gonzalez, and I reside at 837 Melba Street, Dallas, Texas. I've got copies of a DCAD report for the property in question, which I wish to discuss if these could be passed out to the members.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. 832 Melba Street has been unoccupied for quite a while. The previous owner, I just recently discovered that they just recently transferred property to a developer. However, it has been vacant, and it was turning into what we refer to as a crack house. I urge the city to consider purchasing this property and providing a low-interest loan to a police officer and their family, or turning it into a halfway shelter for battered women and children, or a halfway house for women exiting the prison system who wish to get back on their feet again. We have two other halfway houses on our street, and I would like to point out that they are very good neighbors. They will pick up the phone. There is an officer on deck. Somebody will take responsibility when they see something amiss. I urge you to do something about this, because the type of people who are looking at this property actually don't really care about the property or the neighborhood. There are those people who will complain of having neighbors, halfway houses. I will not, and neither will anybody on my street, because they are good examples to our youth. Keep going the way you're going, and if you do it right, you might get to do this. Do you want to be me? So they're actually very good examples for our young people in our neighborhood. Consider this. I propose that the city adopt this property and use it for a better purpose. Thank you. My name is Lee Gonzalez.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez.
Are there any questions from the council?
Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. If you could, Mr. Gonzalez, step to this. I'd like to get the police and have Joey go over with them so we can identify the problems at this property.
Thank you. Mr. Zapata will see you.
Meet you over here on the side, sir.
Okay. Yeah, there's a code enforcement official here.
Yeah, he's
very good. Whom would I confer with?
Right over there. He'll come meet you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Your next speaker is Anthony Rios. Mr. Rios will be followed by Eddie Probst, Jada Wooten, and Judd Bradbury.
Good morning, Council and Honorable Mayor. My name is Tony Rios, and I live at 5239 Clover Haven in Far East Dallas. My reason for addressing the council is to draw your attention to the home burglaries in my neighborhood. My neighborhood is referred to as Buckner Terrace or Everglade Park. As a previous Crime Watch chair for Buckner Terrace homeowners and current VIP member, I've kept graphs and statistics of crime in the community. Since April this year, home burglaries have increased dramatically. In May, on the first day, we had 8 home burglaries within a 5-block radius. Ending on the last day of May, we were featured on Channel 8 News with a video showing 2 burglars breaking into a Buckner Terrace home. Within 24 hours of that burglary, a few blocks away, a homeowner was shot in the chest, answering his door while his house got burglarized. We ended the month with 32 home burglaries. So far in June, we have 14 burglaries. Although we have met with police and neighborhood watch groups, this continues to climb. When I asked about what actions will be taken to address the issue, I'm told we need to lock our doors, make sure our garage doors are locked and closed, etc. Well, let me tell you, the lady on Elliott, her door was locked while she stood in her kitchen and watched the burglar break the window. The garage door was closed while the burglar broke the back door down in the Channel 8 video. Mayor and Council, Let me say that I think our neighborhood police are special and they care. However, I found 3 years ago when the City of Dallas Police Department used a unique method of addressing burglaries by identifying habitual burglars who have outstanding warrants and posting their pictures in every squad car, then proactively arresting them. Burglaries dropped precipitously. This program was praised by the police and featured in the television and newspapers. It was described as applying the best practices. That's gone now. Burglaries are up. I understand the program was considered dangerous for police. While walking my dog on Elliott Street the other day, I was talking to my elderly neighbor who are 89 and 90 years old while they were cutting their lawn. The husband is proud that he's lived in the house for 45 years. His wife came over holding some brush in one hand and a pistol in the other. He happened and lifted his shirt to show me his pistol. They carry their guns while they mow the lawn. I can understand why. On the same block, last week, two homes were burglarized. It shouldn't be like this, and surely we can do better. We are a modest, diverse community, socially, racially, and economically. Unfortunately, in the last 4 years, we're beginning to lose the battle. The neighborhood is changing, and without strong, proactive police response to burglaries and stronger code enforcement, we will deteriorate further. The problem associated with growing South Dallas will be transferred into saving Far East Dallas.
Sir.
I ask that you look into solutions and ongoing problems. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Davis would like to say something.
Thank you. I have a once-a-month meeting with my deputy chief, Mr. Rios. They had given me a plan. They had given me an update about some burglaries in that area. I think you've been, and they had mentioned your name to me, that you had called them.
Yes, ma'am.
Sergeant Coleman, and that you've come to some of their meetings to talk about that concern. They will be getting with you. They're doing, and I can't talk about it here on the mic, but they have an action plan of what they're going to be trying to do in that area, especially on that particular street for some reason. And so that's what's interesting to me, why that particular street. And so that's what we will be working on. Also, the homeowners meeting, I went to it the last homeowners meeting, and there was some concerns about that particular street and Wilsonburg. So I'm very, very aware of it. Trust me, Sergeant Coleman will be working on that in his team. And Chief Brown. So give them a moment. Let's find out where the trouble is coming from, okay? But I'm very, very aware of it. And thank you for coming down and just voicing your concern.
Thank you very much, Ms. Davis.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway, I think you wanted to say something.
None really to say. Ms. Davis said it all.
Oh, okay.
And I know that she's going to put an action plan together, and the police, once we had the same type of problem in a particular area in Oak Cliff, and the police put together an action plan, and now we can take back that neighborhood and walk down the street and feel safe. So give it a moment, and I think Ms. Davis and the Dallas Police will address it. And thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Carroll. Right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Your next speaker is Eddie Probst.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just come back in from Oklahoma City, around Moore area, during no tornado disasters. Last time I was here on Dwayne's Carraway birthday, and it was about you, really. But those tornadoes, as y'all see the video shots I got, when the old folks didn't want to run into a tornado cellar just for safety. And when the tornado blowed over, you smell death, you know. And that's a good experience for people to look at. But if it ever happened to Dallas, Texas, will we know how to build our own tornado cellars in our backyard if we own our own land in the city of South Dallas District? Because you know it hit that southern part of Lancaster real hard. All that area get hit. You know, we know where the tornado floats, just like it floats more every year. You know, but most of us don't think like that. But FEMA, since I told you when we sat back and waited on FEMA to put the bill, yeah, they came to more real quick. And when they came, we didn't own one block, one tornado cellar. 15 people, 15 by 15, trying to get in while the old folks sitting in there rocking in the rocking chair just say, come and get me. This is all I've seen no more. And most of us, we're just not ready. And another thing about this crime rate that's going on in the city of Dallas, I told you to work with the youth to put an event together for the summertime to get them off the street. You ain't going to get them off the street. Guess what? The juvenile will get them. We don't have events for them. We don't put programs together for them. And we know these are young, our young black generation that's doing all this crime. You know that. In order to stop the crime, hey, Ms. Davis, she need to go to Pan Africa and let's put a plan together. Because, see, that's what we're bringing all the entertainers to, you know. And I'm working with a movie production right here called The Black Wall Street and Juneteenth out of Dallas, Texas. But guess what? Ain't nobody going to fund nothing from the city, just like Rudy's Chicken. You know what I'm saying?
Ms. Probst, speak to me. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm talking to Dwayne Carroll.
No, you need to speak to me.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
But I'm just saying about the city of Black Dallas. You know, what's going on in the southern part of Dallas. Okay, like up in Mississippi. Okay, we voted for Obama 8 years later. In Mississippi, guess what happened? All the black churches are shut down in the community where we have black murals. You know, so I'm looking at this a nationwide thing, you know, for black America. And in order for us to run most of these events, to put these together, sometimes blacks got to do it too. Y'all not giving it to us. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Ms. Probst. Appreciate it.
Next speaker is Jada Wooten. Not present. Judd Bradbury. Mr. Bradbury will be followed by Brandon Benson.
Mayor and Council, thank you for the opportunity to speak today and address the Council. I'm here to speak to you about the noise issue at Love Field. There are a couple issues that I wanted to bring forward, bring to light to make sure that the Council is aware of what's going on in our neighborhoods. There's a path coming out of the southeast.
I'm sorry, just to clarify, sure. Where do you live so we know?
Sure, you're absolutely correct. Judd Bradbury, 4520 Bordeaux Avenue, Highland Park, Texas.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. About 70% of the traffic that's coming out of Love Field right now is running through the southeast corner, some specific neighborhoods. This is obviously frustrating for the residents, and I wanted to bring to light sort of the day after day, minute after minute, hour after hour, sort of abusive nature of the noise. It's one thing to have a day or two that, hey, there's a lot of noise, right? Okay, so we all go on about our business. This is began on April 16th when we opened the new terminal. It's continued day after day, and another point I want to make, night after night, since we opened the terminal. One of the elements that I want to bring to the Council's attention is that in this corridor where it seems we're running a whole lot of the traffic, there's not a single NMS noise monitoring device. The noise monitoring devices are on the south end of the airport, okay, where the traffic is typically expected to go. But on the southeast side, there's this corridor where we're running all the traffic, yet we're not monitoring the noise. So I wanted to bring that to the Council's attention so they might be able to get with the environmental manager and just take a look at it. The second issue that I want to bring to the Council's attention is the curfew. From our perspective, the curfew is fiction. There is no such curfew. Our practical experience is that there is not a curfew. When we address city staff, their suggestion is there is no curfew. Our practical experience is that we receive flights at midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m. Okay, and this is routinely since April 16th. This is obviously frustrating. When we speak to city staff about this, we receive sort of a standard rubber stamp, we're a federal airport, and we must stay open all night. I think there's some distance, a significant gap between what is expected, what the public understands as a curfew, and what's actually going on. And we have a lot of concerns with current airport management and their sort of callousness towards the citizenship. When they know they have a set of metrics that say about 70% of the traffic.
You summarize your time.
I'm wrapping it up. About 70% of the traffic is coming through this corridor. They're responding to residents in the southeast as it's all in your mind. Mayor, Council, thank you for the opportunity. I'd also like to add, we received A-plus service from the City Secretary's office. It's the best service I've ever seen at the city. I was responded to on a Sunday, which was remarkable.
That's great.
So
that's
thank you, Mayor.
Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bradbury, thank you so much for coming down. Last week, I'm not sure if you're aware, we had Pat White, who's been a longtime advocate for the neighborhood surrounding Leftfield, and she's been working to address those very issues that you brought up. We discussed some of those issues last week. In the meantime, I've talked again with A.C. Gonzalez, who will be our interim city manager, and he is working very diligently with Southwest Airlines out there to address some flight pattern issues and also to address the issue of the monitoring system. So just so you know, those issues are being addressed, and I think since this is my last council meeting, the person you will most likely be dealing with on this issue is Councilmember-elect Staubach Gates, who is here today. And I've spoken with her extensively about the matter and kind of the history of all of this. So I think you will have an opportunity to have further advocacy on this issue and to talk with her and work through these matters.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Ms. Coop.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Bradbury, and thank you for your email, too. I'm glad you're here today, so I can just speak to you face-to-face instead of answering your email. But I asked for the Transportation Committee to put it on their agenda when they come back in August so that we could understand what the issues are that surround that. I won't be here, but I did that make that request. And I do agree with you. I think there's some misconceptions, you know, and people just need to know what exactly, if there were any contracts, what those were. And as far as the noise monitoring, I did get a little bit of an update on that. And people just need to know that. I mean, you know, one way or the other, they just need to understand what the issue was with the noise monitoring machines and when they'll be back in place and that kind of thing. So I agree with you. Thank you for coming down here today.
Ms. Hunt, Ms. Coop, you will
both
be missed.
Thank you.
Bye. Jada Wooten.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. My name is Jada Wooten. I live at 2308 Annex. I'm here today to pay homage to my dead ancestors and my mother. Today is June 19th. My city is a divided city. We're living in apartheid in 2013. All of the CDBG money and funds has been used to build a part of the city for Caucasians and specks of blacks. In District 2 and 14, we're being stopped and frisked. Young black males being stopped by police for just walking. And you all promote a walkable community. And I live in that community. And I have a teenage son that has friends. And they can't walk down the street. When in fact, y'all say this is a walkable community. I don't know. But I've read all around America how they stopping black men, young black men. Because they think they smoking weed or they selling or carrying it some kind of way. So that's a probable cause for them. It's not a probable cause. It's a thought in their mind, and they're using it to stop black men. I saw it on the news tonight how y'all say y'all going to stop messing with the youth. But y'all know the youth is our future. And not everybody is a criminal. Okay, I got off a little bit. As I say, you all promote a walkable community, and we can't walk, not as freely as Caucasians. And finally, I figured out another reason why you all don't want me in that community. It's because when I walk, white men tried to pick me up. And I wasn't raised to sell my body parts, so they lose on that end. I really lost where I'm supposed to be. But back to the community where you all have destroyed my community by demolishing housing, when the fact CDBG funds could be used to revitalize housing. Only in the poor communities are you all destroying property, when in fact y'all know that the developers are not coming to the poor neighborhoods to build. And when they do, they building for somebody else. They're not building for the same income people that's there. We want to live nice, too. We want to live in fancy places, too. We need jobs, too. We need restaurants. We need clubs. We need all that. And we don't have any of that. And that's a part of, what's that, Hanover? Economic development.
Thank you, Ms. Wooten.
About 3 minutes up?
Yes, ma'am.
It took 3 minutes just for that.
Thank you. Sorry.
But y'all need to give us 10 minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
This concludes your morning, speakers.
All right. Thank you very much.
We'll now move to the voting agenda. Item 1, approval of minutes of the June 5th, 2013 City Council meeting.
We have a motion and second. Any edits or discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. We don't have any boards and commissions, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so let's stop there. I'm kind of reordering things a little bit for today's meeting, so I want to go over the agenda with everyone because we have some public hearings that can't start till 1. So what we're going to do is take all the voting items at 1 o'clock at lunch, and then we're going to move all the briefings up and do those in the morning. We'll start with briefing A. We'll go through as far as we can this morning, and we'll have an executive session either before lunch or after lunch. Come back here at 1, take the public hearings and the voting agendas, and finish up the day. Also today, as I said earlier, we have 5 excellent city council members that today is their last meeting. And so we want to recognize them appropriately. And what I thought, I'm going to have some comments in inauguration, but I know you all, this is your chance to say farewell publicly to them. So as opposed to just doing it all at one time, I thought we'd intersperse between the agenda items, talking and recognizing different individuals. And to do that, before we kick off with briefing A, I will start, and I'm taking this personal privilege because my city council woman is here, and that's Ann Margolin. And I just thought I would say something about her, and anybody that wants to can chime in as well about it. So, and this is not a roast. This is not a roast. Okay, this is not a roast. But I've been pleased. I remember when Ann came over to my house over 4 years ago when she decided to run, and I started to get to know her, and it's been great to know her as a friend, but also as a great representative of the citizens of the district. I'm a big fan of her fiscal conservatism. She has made an attempt to make sure all our dollars are being spent in the right place, and I think that is so important. I asked her to chair our new committee in Arts, Culture, and Libraries, and she took it with gusto, and she helped us set some new standards on our business for the arts, a fundraising process, and really an advocate for the libraries. The libraries love you, Anne, and I think for good reason. You've set a great tone. She has represented the council well at the CVB, as we have kicked off a new campaign for the city of Dallas. We have a new PID, and she has done so much. She is also a neighborhood advocate like there none other, and people know they can talk about her problems, their problems, and I think the city has is going to lose a great neighborhood advocate in losing you. Some of us around this table have power in our voice. I'm going to tell you, Ms. Margolin has power in her ears. She's a good listener. She's one of the great listeners in this council, and I think we can all learn from her, her wisdom in making sure she's got all the facts before she comes out and opines. So, Ann, thank you for being my councilwoman, and thank you for leading this group. Thank you very much. Yeah, Tanel, Mr. Atkins.
Ann, I'm going to miss you, and I do have you in my top five, so I will call you. You know, one thing was Ann, you know, I can remember that, you know, she said I'm from New York, and we were talking about the Cotton Bowl, you know, what's important of the Cotton Bowl, you know, we're talking about taxpayer money, and we're talking about a $20 million. And as Mara said, she is a good listener, and she did listen to everyone of us, said that how much we need the Cotton Bowl. We need to make sure that we need the finance to improve the condition at the Cotton Bowl. And she came to the conclusion and said, you know what, this is good for the city of Dallas. And I do understand, but she did listen, and she studied her homework, and said it was a good thing. At the end of the day, she always believed whatever she do is good for the city of Dallas. And she protect the taxpayer money. And I'm going to miss you, you know, because one thing that you have a kind heart, you love the city, and you still going to be part of the city, you still going to be part of the council. And I will call you when I need you. Thank you very much. On the council with you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me say, I'm not going to miss Ann Margolin, because I'm not going to let you get too far away. You will be missed. You have been one of the most professionals out of council members that I've known through the years. You carried yourself in such a manner. Your shoulders have been just broad shoulders, and you would know how to keep a secret all the way up until the vote. We garnered, and I personally garnered so much respect for you as a council member, more importantly, as a lady. You, when you walk through the door, you would know that Ann Margolin is in the room with the highest of esteem and respect. Love you to death, and will continue to depend and count on you. When I'm acting crazy a little bit, I want you to pick up the phone and say, slow down. I get a little bit too long, I want you to make sure you keep me abreast and keep me going, because, you know, you have role models. And believe it or not, you're one of my role models. You've shown me how to behave and how to carry myself and to always attempt, as I would have to do, attempt to stay professional. We're going to miss you. Your constituents, I want them to know, they have one of the best constituents that's ever represented that area in Ann Margolin. We're going to miss you.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Mr. Allen.
Yeah, I hope you take his advice, and if he does get out of hand, give him a call, will you? We got two more years, you know, so give him a call. You know, the viewing and listening audience, a lot of times y'all might see us kind of going at each other a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's really a big old brotherhood. We have strong opinions, obviously, and so we will spat at each other. But at the end of the day, we walk outside and we got our arms around each other, because it is a brotherhood that we live in. Councilman Carraway, you're exactly right. You might have been alluding to that vote on the soccer field where she kept it really close to the vest right to the very end, and turned out to be, I think, one of her shining moments. But, Ann, one of the neat things, and one of the things I'll always remember, was after the vote was over with and you handled it perfect. And it was about 4 or 5 minutes later, everybody had already left the hall. And I just happened to look up at you and just kind of had my eyes on you. And at that moment in time, you went, it's like, because you had it built inside you. It had been a long, and these are hard decisions we have to make. And you just let it, you went, and it was so cool to see that moment of when you released it like that. So, because they are, because from brotherhood to brotherhood, I know what you went through on that. And in that release, it was a special moment to watch that. So see you down the road.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, Ann Northern, we're going to miss you immensely. When I first heard that, you know, I was angry with you. I got on her. I said, you don't need to leave right now. So you've been our city watchdog for our funds and our funding. And as myself, I appreciate that very much. You kept me up on things that I could have maybe missed, and I really appreciated that. And for your district, you've done your district immensely great things. So I know they're going to miss you. But like they've said, we're going to stay in contact and make sure that we don't lose sight of you. And I just want to thank you for all you've given me on this council and everything you've done for our city. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilwoman, it has been wonderful to have you as my seatmate. In the legislative venue, one of the most important things that happens is who is your seatmate. That's who you have the opportunity to converse with very quietly and very often. You have been an excellent, excellent seatmate. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that. As you know, we have not always agreed. One of the items that we disagreed about most vehemently was the horse park. I was determined, and you were determined. And finally, we got to a place where we could both settle and agree. I appreciate that about you. Also, it has been wonderful to have you next to me as a theological sounding board. We come from two of the great faiths of the world. We've had the opportunity to discuss those quietly and to educate each other. What a blessing that has been. I wish you well and Godspeed. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Judge. Ms. Grayson.
Well, Ann, I too have enjoyed sitting next to you. You know, over the course of 10 years on the council, I have sat next to the District 13 rep 3 times. Donna Bloomer, Mitch Rusansky, and now Ann Margolin. And I've got to tell you, they, all of them, pay attention. Ms. Bloomer and Ms. Margolin just focus. You know how some of us are criticized because we walk around and we talk? They pay attention. The mayor touched on it. Excellent listener. And, you know, when some of us get restless, they're just sitting there, and they're paying attention, and they're focused. And, Ann, you did that, too. I tell you, Jennifer's got big shoes to fill here because she's got to sit there and be focused for, like, 6 or 8 hours at a time and follow in that tradition. And I just, like I said, I have really enjoyed sitting next to you, and I think that you have brought such calm and level-headedness to this council. And I think when you make a decision, it's a well-thought-through decision. And after the soccer field vote, after Jerry said that Ann made a big sigh, then she had a big grin. I've not seen her grin so big in a long time. It was a relief. It was well done. And I applaud you and your service, Ann. We will miss you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Ann. It was definitely a pleasure to serve with you. You know, everyone's spoken about, you know, your calmness and your level-headedness. And I just want to tell you that you were my champion during the O.M. Roberts school vote. These children will be able to attend school at Jubilee Park area coming this fall. And you will definitely be invited because as you were there for the groundbreaking, you definitely were our champion here at City Council, and you are in that neighborhood, and you'll always be remembered. And I guess for Fred and Jane and Richard, they have you back. Thank you.
Here, here, they're the winners. And thank you again. Really appreciate it. We're gonna, we'll celebrate you again on Inauguration Day. With that, let us move. We're going to kind of intersperse talking about all of them throughout the day. So let's move to briefing A, the City of Dallas Community Survey findings. Ms. Soom, you want to kick it off?
Yes. This survey is the second one done by the ETC Institute, and they're a national leader in the field of community-based market research. They've produced over 700 surveys for cities and over 49 different states in the country. Chris Tatham is the CEO. He's a national authority on development of comparative performance measures, which we've been interested in for the last 8-10 years. He's designed more than 1,200 surveys for different communities, and this is his second year working with us in our second community, and we're honored to have him here with us today. Thank you, Chris.
Great, Mayor, members of the council, it's a pleasure to be back. Just to give you an overview of where we've worked, this map shows a number of the cities around the country where we do work. As the city manager mentioned, we've done work in 11 of the 20 largest U.S. cities. 10 of the 20 largest U.S. counties are my clients. And there's 31 cities in the United States that have more than 500,000 residents, and we have data from 20 of them. So as I go through this presentation, I'm often going to talk about context, because the issues that affect large cities are often different than the issues affecting your average size community. As far as today's presentation, I'm going to go through the purpose and methodology of the survey briefly. We conducted this year's survey the same way we've done in the past, but for those of you who aren't familiar with it, I know you want to be comfortable with using the data, so I want to make you aware of how it was conducted. Then I'll give you our major conclusions up front, talk about how we got there, restate those conclusions, and certainly ask any questions that you might have. As far as the purpose, the survey is designed to allow you to gather input from residents, from all residents. Typically what's happened in the public process in the United States is the only people who typically show up to public meetings are those who don't like what a community is doing or they want to significantly change the way you're delivering it. As a result, if you don't hear from the vast majority, you may actually go down a path that doesn't represent the majority of your residents. A typical resident is just expecting good service, so they're not going to show up and tell you you're doing a great job. So this sort of tool helps you balance the input from the vast majority of residents against the important input that special interest groups have. In addition, it allows you to track your performance over time and actually see what some of the priorities might be for the community as you move forward. As far as the survey methodology, this year's survey was conducted the same way that the last two surveys were conducted. It's a very long survey. It takes most residents about 20 minutes to complete, so they put a lot of time into answering these questions. We let them do it by mail or by phone to encourage the response to the survey. We actually had over 30% of the respondents that were selected at random in each district participate. Our goal was to get at least 100 surveys completed from each district, so the data is statistically valid at the district level. It's also statistically valid citywide. The results aren't perfect, but they have an accuracy of plus or minus 2.6% at the 95% level of confidence. That simply means if you did the survey 100 times, 95 times out of 100, we'd expect to get these same results within about 3% or a little less. So it's very good data. In addition, we mapped the home address of the respondents so you can actually see how people responded based on the district where they live. And this map just gives you, these are the new council districts, and you can see we have good representation throughout the city. There's at least 100 dots in each district, but some of the areas you'll see that don't have dots are lesser populated, and so the distribution of the sample isn't proportioned to the density of the city's population. So we felt really good about the physical distribution. We also looked at the demographic distribution and compared it to the most recent census with regard to race, income, gender, and other factors, and it's very representative of the city's population as a whole. So I think you can have confidence that if you're going to use this data really does reflect what residents of the city think. With that said, these are the major conclusions this year. The first one, I think, is something you should be extremely proud about. Overall satisfaction with city services here in Dallas is 15 percentage points above the national average for large U.S. cities. That's a tremendous accomplishment. In addition, when we looked at how things are changing and people's attitudes about the city, residency, you're definitely moving in the right direction. In other words, the percentage of residents who think the city is moving in the right direction jumped significantly from 2 years ago. In addition, when it looks at the overall satisfaction by council district, although there are some differences for specific services, I'm going to show you a map in a little bit that shows regardless of where residents live, they generally have the same overall perception of city services. In addition, your customer service ratings were above average in every single area that was assessed. And although you are moving in the right direction, I've identified some opportunities that I think you can do better, things you should focus on in the years ahead. And I'm going to go through kind of how I reached these conclusions in the next few slides. First one is the perception residents have of the city is generally positive. You know, one of the things we ask people is what they think about the overall quality of life in the city. And for a large city, typically there's significant percentages of the population that don't feel good about the quality of life. Only 3% of the residents of Dallas rated the quality of life as poor. You can see over 70% gave good and excellent ratings. So comparatively, the city is in very good shape when people think about the overall health and quality of life in the community. And we looked at some of the specifics about how people rate it as a place to live, work, do business. I won't read the entire list to you. You can see most of these areas have positive ratings. The percentage of good and excellent is relatively high. Fair is more an okay. People don't have a real strong or a real negative experience. You see public schools is the only area that really had somewhat lower ratings, with a little over 30% of the people rating it as poor. When it comes to general characteristics about the community, you can see many areas rate very high, such as shopping, arts and culture, the overall perceptions of new development. What impressed me most about this slide is there's really no areas of any of these items that we assessed with significant percentages of negativity. In other words, fewer than 12% or less of the people who gave results rated any of these areas as poor. So overall, when it comes to the general characteristics of the community, at least what we consider to be strategic indicators, Dallas is very, very healthy. When it comes to service delivery, you'll notice that we have the major categories or sort of by department that are listed on this chart, everything from fire down to the maintenance of infrastructure. And you'll notice that several of these, fire, ambulance and emergency medical, arts, cultural programs, public libraries, solid waste, all have 75% or more of the residents giving positive ratings. And as you go through the list, there's really only two areas that have more than one in five residents giving negative ratings, and that's maintenance of infrastructure and code enforcement, but that's not unusual for a city of this size. So all in all, the city's service delivery is very, very good. In addition, one of the things that we looked at, and you'll find in the full report, are maps that actually show how people by district rate different services. And they're shaded kind of on dark blue to sort of a reddish color. And dark blue and light blue indicate that people are generally positive or feel good about the service. Reds and darker shades of orange indicate that people are dissatisfied. And although you will see some differences, for example, police and infrastructure tend to rate a little bit lower in the south than the north, when we ask people to rate the overall quality of city services, what you'll notice on this map is that the entire city is in the same color. And you might say, well, what does that tell me? What it tells you is that regardless of where a resident lives, most residents have about the same overall perception of the city. So while there are differences on some specific issues, at the end of the day, most residents feel good about the overall delivery of city services. In addition, one of the things that we looked at in this survey is how Dallas stacks up to other large communities, such as those that I listed earlier. And you'll notice on the key strategic indicators that we assess, like quality of life, appearance, image, overall quality of services, value for taxes, and the direction the city is headed, City of Dallas is rated significantly above the national average in every single area. I want to especially emphasize the fourth item down, overall quality of services. In most large cities, fewer than half of the residents surveyed give positive ratings. It's just 46%. Here in Dallas, almost 2 out of 3 are 61%. So to be 15 points above the national average with regard to your overall satisfaction rating is very, very impressive. In addition, you're significantly above the value for taxes that are paid. And I think you should particularly feel good about the direction the city is headed, because right now, because of the tough economic times the last few years, most people in large cities don't feel good about the direction their city is going. In fact, it's only about 1 in 3 people in most large cities give positive ratings, and over half the residents here give positive ratings. In fact, you're 19 points above the national average when it comes to the direction you're going. So congratulations in doing a lot of things right, given these tough economic times. In addition, I want to compliment your culture of customer service. You'll notice that all three of the major areas that were assessed when it comes to customer service rank significantly above the national average, both with regard to the knowledge of city employees, their responsiveness, and courtesy. You can see Dallas is definitely setting the standard in these areas. And so if you've got a culture of employees that care about residents and provide good service, that tends to create a brand for the city that people feel good about. And so that allows the city to do a lot of things, because people tend to have confidence in what the local government is doing. And you can see that based on these ratings and the ones that I just showed you. Now, with that said, one of the things you might want to take a look at is, well, how have things really changed over the last couple of years? One of the things that we do to help you kind of see things at a macro level is we create composite performance indices. What this does is it takes all of the items that are assessed during each period and compares them to how things have changed the first year. So the first year is set at 100. As the number goes above 100, that means collectively you're doing better than you did in the base year, kind of like a consumer price index. On the other hand, if the number falls below 100, you're doing worse. And you'll notice that Dallas saw a significant increase over the first 2 years that we conducted the survey, and it's pretty much held its own since 2011. But you'll notice that the national average has seen a significant decrease. So nationally, it's gone from 100 to 95.3. During that same period, Dallas has gone from 100 to 104.3. So while you've seen over a 4-point increase, most communities around the country have seen a 5-point decrease. So your relative standing against other communities compared to 4 years ago is much, much better. So again, you're doing a lot of things right. And some of the ways that we look at this is we break down individual areas, and we actually look at how is the quality of life, mobility, major services. And you see we have a number of indexes. I won't explain them all today, but you'll see public safety, solid waste, parks and recreation, general perceptions of the city, and quality of life are really the areas that are leading some of your movement forward. We have not seen any significant decreases in any of the indices over the past 4 years. So again, feel very comfortable about what the city is doing based on the survey results. In addition, when we looked at some of the specific aspects of quality of life, you'll see every area that was assessed in the survey with regard to quality of life has improved significantly compared to 2009. Even public schools, which was one of the areas that was rated lower, though it stayed about the same from 2011, has seen a significant improvement from when we did the first survey. You'll see things across the board, such as a place to work has rebounded significantly from the last survey. And as you go through each and every item on the survey, particularly economic development, which is about two-thirds of the way down, you'll see that's one of the areas that saw the most improvement compared to 2 years ago. In addition, when it comes to perceptions of what people think about the city, you'll see that the perception about the direction the city is headed increased 7 percentage points from 47 to 54%. So again, whatever you've been doing the last 2 years, people feel very, very good about it, particularly when you compare that to other cities where only 35% of residents are giving positive ratings. I also think you're to be complimented of the fact that residents are more likely now to think you're doing a better job of using their taxes. You'll notice that the percentage that say they receive good value for the taxes they pay, no one loves to pay taxes, but you see it's gone up a little bit each time we've done the survey, from 39% to now 45%. So you're definitely moving in the right direction as far as making sure residents feel good about the value they receive for their taxes. As far as some of the most notable increases, I won't read this entire list to you, but you can see they're kind of all over the place. A lot of different areas saw significant improvements. As I said, place to work, raise children, perceptions of your garbage collection services, people's perceptions of new development and what it's like to do business all improved significantly, including perceptions of safety in downtown during the day. There were a few decreases that were noticeable, some related to water-related issues, But that's typical throughout Texas. In fact, every city, and we survey about a dozen cities in Texas, the issues related to water, people are more concerned about conservation, and that's having a negative impact because expectations have changed based on what's happened as a result of the drought. And you can see some of the other areas we saw, for example, cable television is down, but we're seeing that across the nation because more and more people are relying on other sources such as the internet and satellite TV for their information. But all in all, the percentage that we saw significant increases compared to notable decreases, definitely more things were going up than down. The last thing I want to share with you is just perhaps what some of the opportunities to take a look at in the future. In other words, to continue being the standard setter for large cities, what sort of things should you be focusing on? And to do this is a little bit of a busy chart, but I shared with you the satisfaction ratings up till now. The other piece that we include in the survey is we ask people how important services are. Because frankly, if everybody in the city was dissatisfied with the service, you could spend $1 billion on it and it wouldn't make any difference if nobody cared about that service. So what you really want to do is take a look at, well, what services do residents care a lot about, and focus your energies, your communication messages, so that people feel that the city is doing something about those issues. And you can see infrastructure ends up being at the top of the list through this assessment. It actually has what we see the important satisfaction rating. It's almost double the second item on the list. So certainly investments in infrastructure and messages and telling your community about what you're doing are equally important. I've seen a number of communities make a lot of investments in infrastructure but not tell people what they did. And as a result, they don't maximize the benefits because people don't go everywhere in the city all the time. You'll see police, code enforcements, and water-related issues kind of round out those high-priority issues. So again, when it comes to investments, when it comes to communication messages, those are the items I'd recommend that you focus on if your goal is to enhance or sustain high levels of satisfaction. If you're not a left-brain learner who likes lists, we've also presented visually the same information. This is the same data. All we've done is plotted on a quadrant diagram. So as you go from left to right, things on the right are more important. As you go from the bottom to top, the things at the top have higher satisfaction ratings. And what we focus on are the things in the bottom right. These tend to be more important where the ratings are lower. And you can see those four same items are listed there. So bottom line is, you're to be congratulated on leading a city that's setting the example for overall service delivery. 15 percentage points isn't just a little above average, it's significantly above average. When almost 2 out of 3 residents here give you positive ratings, when fewer than half of residents in most large cities give positive ratings, you're doing something right. In addition, you're doing things better. There's more confidence in the city now than there was 2 years ago. The percentage you think the city is moving in the right direction is up 7 points. And we compare the percentage of people who think Dallas is moving in the right direction compared to other large cities, you're 19 points above that average at 54% compared to just 35. As I said, although there are differences for some services, the overall satisfaction rating is pretty much the same in all council districts, which suggests to me that although you may have differences on specific services, at the end of the day, you're doing a fairly good job of equitably providing services throughout the city. And as I said before, their customer service ratings are above average in all areas, which suggests you've created a culture that is responsive to the expectations of the residents. But in order to stay where you're at, I continue to emphasize infrastructure, code enforcement, police services, and just watch how the water issues evolve, because I think that's affecting everyone across this state. So, Mayor, I don't know if anyone has any questions, but I'd be more than happy to answer them.
I'm sure they do. Mr. Atkins.
Yes, I have one. The survey, go to page 6.
On the slides?
Yes.
Okay.
There we go. I'll mention that maybe page 7. Go to 7. And in that, you're talking about the population, right, density. You look down at the bottom part between I-20 and I guess that maybe Loop 12. It was not so many dots, District 8. When you do your survey, and I'm just curious, you know, you have 1,431 people that you surveyed, and you said roughly about 100 person in each
district
was surveyed. My district is 56 square miles, and it's like different cities, different towns. I know the overall district, the overall city, you know, we up. But if I had to go out and survey my district, I think the rating would go down. Because you look at Cleaver, Riley, and Port of Pleasant Grove, they feel like the city's not doing great service. So I don't know. I guess, Mayor, you know, when we do surveys, I would love to do a great survey by council district and know what part of the district that you surveyed, where do those samples came from. Did it come from Cleaver and Riley? Did it come from Highland Hill? Did it come from UNT at Dallas? Or where did those samples come from?
I think we can break it up that way for him, can't we?
We can to some extent. The 100 is what you really need at a minimum level of the council.
But I understand that, but to break it up, but to break it up in my district, I know my district.
Right.
I know people in Cleveland Riley is completely different over here by UNT. So I would love where that sample came from. And that would give me a higher learning what I need to do in that district and what's going on. During the campaign over in Highland Hill, the big survey said we do not get better police protection.
Right.
They do not respond. The trash not getting picked up. The water, and that's what a concern I hear in that area. Water sample taken in that particular area.
Yeah.
So that's my. I think it's a great tool to look at it, but I think we need to dig a little more in the weeds by district, especially in District 8.
You know, we can certainly do that next go around. We do these every 2 years. Of course, it's a little more expensive to do that on a district-by-district basis, but something we could look at in the next.
Well, you know, when I say district, you know, we got 56 square miles, Mary. You know, it's a
yeah, no,
district.
I, no, I know. You certainly could do that.
But I just want to, those dots are where the surveys were. So they got Cleburg-Riley. They had 8 or 9 of the 100 were in Cleburg-Riley.
Right.
So he could to a certain extent. The statistical significance goes way down. But he could tell you how those 10 in Cleburg Riley, what they thought about.
And Mayor, what you said is a good point to bring up. Your deal is in Southern Dallas said neighborhood. How do I identify a neighborhood? So do those dots identify the neighborhood? Or just a person live in the boonies? It's a neighborhood. So we got neighborhoods, Crown Watch there. Who was part of the survey? Were they part of Crown Watch? Were they part of the neighborhood?
Absolutely.
So, listen, Mayor.
Okay, great. Thank you. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor. How many total surveys were mailed out to each district to be able to receive the 100 returned surveys?
Yeah, we selected approximately 300 at random from each district. And our goal was to get about a 33% response rate.
Okay, that's normal.
That's normal. The real key is we could have sent out 20,000 for each district, but if only 200 came back, it wouldn't be statistically valid. So we want a high percentage response rate from the fixed randomly selected sample to make sure the results are valid.
Okay, I wanted to know that. Slide number 8, please. I want to have it about the same, something about the same. I guess I wanted the definition of what you said, something about the same.
I think it was regarding to the distribution or the overall satisfaction with city services, and mm-hmm. that leads to this chart. When we actually calculated the mean satisfaction rating by district and then shaded it one of those four colors, you'll notice that the entire city, all 14 districts, are shaded the same color. So at the end of the day, the overall satisfaction rate is about the same for each district.
Okay, but you did mention that in certain parts of the city there were little differences.
Services.
Can you just give me an example?
A good example is infrastructure. If you look at infrastructure, some of the ratings for streets, things like that, they tend to be a little better in areas that are newer up to the north than they are in the older parts of the city. Police is another. You tend to see a little bit lower ratings in the older and southern
parts.
That's
the kind of, okay.
Exactly.
So,
and those maps are available, so you'll be able to see service by service.
That's my next question, if we could do that. Okay. Slide number 10. It says poor to fair specifics as to why they rated two-way. The poor to fair, did they give you, I guess the follow-up, because it said something about you followed up by phone. Did they explain, I think it was real interesting, the poor and the fair, and I mean, I don't want to just hone in on the negative, but did they give you an example of why fair as opposed to good? I mean, did they...
Fair typically indicates that you don't have a really strong, passionate, positive, so things are okay. There might be an element of something in the community that people don't think is at the standard it needs to be in order to...
So can you give me an example of that?
A good example in this community, I would guess, is the public schools. If your public schools have over 30% of the residents giving dissatisfied or negative ratings, and that's typically a function of quality of life. But even with that said, your overall quality of life rating, when we see how you stack up to other communities that are large, is above the national average. So, you know, so I wouldn't... There, you know, there are a lot of folks in the fair, but the fact that you only have 3% giving you poor suggests that most people feel at least okay. So 97% of the residents of this community give you fair, good, or excellent ratings for the quality of life, which is very, very good for a large city.
I just didn't know what, with some people, you know, how they distinguish fair and,
right.
and good. Was it, you know, one particular thing that... you know, put them in the fair category as opposed to
typically
good.
A fair person is okay with things, but there's something that, you know, one attribute of the community that might not be where they think it needs to be, and so that's one of the reasons. But I don't know from the survey specifically what those attributes, so it would just be kind of my inference that it's probably related to schools, because that's the only item on the survey where we have significant dissatisfaction.
Okay, good. Slide number 12. The acceptance of people with diverse backgrounds, sense of community, air quality. Those, had, to me, had a really big difference in the fair and the good compared to the other categories. Why that?
Well, you'll notice these are also issues that are often impacted by people's awareness and knowledge. Not everybody's an expert on air quality, and so if they think it's, you know, maybe not great, they'll tend to gravitate toward giving a rating of 3. And what we found in our research is oftentimes the people who give you a rating that fair, they're the group that can be most impacted by communication and messaging. So if air quality here in Dallas actually is really good and you have high percentages giving you a fair rating, suggests you should tell people more about what the air quality really is. And
okay.
Those three items all would fall into that category of education.
So I guess my follow-up was to that was maybe those people – I guess we could see the breakdown if maybe it was more to the west. Maybe the I'm just thinking about news. What, like, when was the survey taken, and perhaps when fracking was, you know, in the headline, or when was this survey taken?
Yeah, it was in March, early April time okay. frame. So,
right. And why do you think such a gap compared to others? So you told me that it just depends on.
Are you thinking about compared to other large communities where you're doing so much better? Because you don't have any major problems. In other words, this is a good example. There's nothing on here that has 20, 25% negativity or poor. Most communities have several areas where they're really struggling. And though you have issues here in Dallas, you don't have a significant percentage of issues that are, you know, with high percentages of people giving you poor ratings. And that's a very – so overall, you're doing a good job.
Thank you. Just as I was looking at the survey and everything, and I think I've said it over and over and over, I think it's a broken record on a public safety, that if our city is not safe, you know, that will tend to come out in surveys, will tend to come out in town hall meetings. You know, people come to city council to talk about that, and I know that... a couple of council members are real big on infrastructure, and that's why we've done, you know, a couple of things on the bond and in the budget as well. And of course, our customer service has to be consistent, and I think that we're striving for that. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. McDonough. Mr. Allen.
Thanks for the presentation. Statistically, you mentioned the margin of error is plus or minus 2.6%. How does that stand up? Would you educate us? Is that good, in the middle, mean, median, mode?
It's pretty average. I mean, Austin does 1,200 surveys, so you're doing more surveys than Austin. San Antonio does 1,000 surveys. So in both cases, your margin of error, compared to just those two cities, you have a more accurate survey than they do.
More accurate survey.
More accurate. San Francisco does 4,000, though. They get more at the issue the councilman mentioned before, that they want to break it down within districts.
Yeah.
And so in order to do that, you have to have a bigger sample.
My point is that statistically – this is what you do for a living. And statistically, this is very accurate.
Absolutely. You'd only really need to do 400 if you just wanted the overall results for the city.
You'd mentioned the word creating a culture. Would you talk about that just for a second? What do you mean?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I do this for a lot of cities, and cities that get good customer service ratings, there tends to be something that's embedded in the culture of the employees where they actually feel responsive to the needs of residents. There are some communities where the city looks at themselves as, well, we are the only service provider in town, so you have to come to us, and if you don't do it the way we like it, then you're out of luck. And I think the city of Dallas, particularly when you look at yourself compared to other large cities, is being responsive to those resident expectations for customer service more so than other large cities.
Which means a culture has been established
exactly
among the employees for this city.
Right.
The city. Go to slide 17. 17. Yes. Perceptions of the city, Dallas versus other large. That's pretty incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, particularly the direction you're heading, given the economic times we've been in. Most communities, I think only 1 in 3 residents in most cities thinks their city's moving in the
that's
right direction.
That's a 19% swing, isn't it?
It's pretty impressive.
And that's statistically accurate.
Statistically accurate.
I just want to go on record by saying our city manager, Mary Soon, that she has, without question, established a culture. She has done this, and it's been a process. I've seen Mary go through a process of establishing a culture of excellence among the employees here, and it's been just a privilege for me as a councilman to be aware of that and watch you in action and the way you've established that culture. And then I also want to go to the ACMs and assistant city managers and let you guys know and ladies know just what a great job y'all have done and with the team that you've had. We've coming off one of the worst recessions since the Depression. We've had to lay people off. But our staff has just done a yeoman's job, as evident in what we're looking at right here. So to our city manager, you're going out on one heck of a good note. You couldn't ask for anything better than that. To our assistant city managers, thank y'all so much. We have a very strong staff. And then to the staff, y'all just keep it up. Y'all make Dallas proud because it goes back to perception. And it's who we are. It's the city of Dallas, how we perceive ourselves. And we perceive ourselves, the citizens, that we're moving forward. And as long as you have a positive attitude, then we will move forward. We will continue to outpace all the other cities as we had during the recession. So thank you for providing the statistically correct. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And, Jerry, I ditto everything that you said. But you said Mary was going somewhere. I don't know where she's going. I had a conversation with her. I act up a little bit. Good presentation. I'd like to know, and you all can answer that. Well, you can answer. How much does this survey cost?
About $45,000.
Okay, that's good. It's worth it to know exactly where we are and where our shortcomings are and where our opportunities are. And I think that this survey shows that. I'd also, Mary, if you would, give me 5 color copies. I'm not getting them off my computer.
Okay.
Give me 5 color copies of this entire presentation.
Okay.
So that I can study it and move it forward, and I can take some notes from it, and we can keep up the good work. But thank you. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Mary. And thank you, Mayor, for allowing this to take place today.
Thank you.
Did y'all want me to start over?
No.
Oh, y'all had a comment.
No, first of all, that was wonderful. Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much. Did you base this survey on total population of the city?
In what regard, I guess?
What's the total population of our city?
1.3 million, 1.2 million.
So it was 1.3 million, and you did a survey to 300 people.
Okay.
1,000,003 people, Mayor, and you did 300 people. That is, it's unbalanced. Now, of this, we're the fifth largest city in the country.
Now, clarify, it was 1,400 people, right?
Well, no, he just said.
Well, you selected 300 per district.
Yeah, 300 per district.
Per district.
I'm just talking about District 7.
Oh, I'm
okay?
Sorry.
Now, of the whole city, you got 1,000,000 people, 1,400 people out of 1,000,000 people in the city. All is not well. Let me just say that. And let me say why. I went and looked at another survey. Survey New York City did. Population much, much, much higher than ours. They had a much better survey than this one out of a huge population. And what their survey would made it the quality of life much better because they went out and they caught more fishes to make it a good survey. So, but I will say, for the amount of money that we paid for the survey, I think we could have, I wish we would have just spread the net a little wider. Let's go back to the map. And the reason I said, you know, said that is because if we would have just said out of 1,000,000 people, we surveyed 3,000 people or 4,000 people, then I would have said, you know what, out of 4,000 people for a million people, I think we had a fair game, because we would have been, it would have been a little more balanced, I think. The total population of this city, and we're the fifth largest city in the country, I just think that we perhaps missed some pockets. But I will say on the survey, you did identify, I think, the five areas of concern, which is infrastructure, police, coal, and water. I will say that is fair. But I think out of the quality of life, which is if you go into certain pockets of the district, for example, job opportunity. On page 12, you have job opportunity. Can we go to page 12, please? Of the job opportunity, and you take an area like certain parts of the city, especially in the southern half, where job opportunity is lacking for some of those areas. How did you deal with job opportunity?
Well, just first I might say, as far as sampling, statistically, once a population is more than 10,000,
mm-hmm.
it's equivalent to an infinite universe.
I understand.
And so at the end of the day, the sample size for a community of 10,000 is basically the same number that you'd have to do in a community that has 1,000,000 or 2,000,000. In fact, you can survey the entire United States.
Right, but if you go into mapping, what I did, it brings up all the cities from around the world.
Right, so your concern really, though, is related to the district-level analysis,
absolutely.
Not the citywide level.
Absolutely.
Citywide. So what you see on this result really reflects the citywide numbers. And though there may be differences within pockets within a district, the city numbers are still valid.
On the job opportunity, how did you, because right now you're saying 49% is good for job opportunity, but when you have pockets where people don't have jobs.
And that's reflected in the fact that if you have 11% of one point, that means there's 120,000, 130,000 people in this city that think job opportunities here are very poor. They're not good. And so that's a lot of people. So you take that 11% and apply it to 1.1 million, there's a lot of people not happy with the availability of jobs. That doesn't suggest these results are not right, and those 11% may be concentrated in certain areas. And so I think what the servers of this survey lets you see citywide and at a high level at each district. It doesn't let you break it down within each district.
So the question I'm going to ask, and I'll give the floor back to the mayor, is does it, you're saying it does not break it down by what you just said, when it comes to job opportunity.
Being able to look within a district, you can look at the district's overall rating, but to be able to look at parts within a district,
it does not do that.
To do that, you'd have to have a larger sample size.
Okay, So what this is more based on is just the overall city, and like Mr. Atkin was saying, but it's not really district.
It is at the district level, but not within the district. So if you have different subdivisions or different neighborhoods within your district.
So we, as a council member, we really wouldn't know how well the district is doing inside unless we will pay more for it.
You know what your overall district result, but you wouldn't know if you have three specific areas within your district. It would be difficult to really objectively assess those three district areas within a district.
Mary, that's what I would be more interested in. What's really going on inside a district for me so I could understand what's lacking? Is it lack of jobs? Is it whatever, you know? Overall, then I think that helps us out as we try to help rebrand and rebuild our district in certain areas. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Let me just follow up to make sure we're all on the same page. So Ms. Davis can have her district and know the rating on job opportunities in her district.
Correct.
With this piece of survey. Can
Correct.
You get her that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It should be available, but we'll make sure that she gets
all right.
that.
Because I think, Ms. Davis, you're going to have the answer to your question. It's not here in this presentation, but the data is there. If I
exactly.
No, it's there. It's just, you know, he just didn't do every district in this presentation. But it would be interesting, I think, to compare kind of the outliers in each, you know, each district. I mean, what those things are, infrastructure, job opportunities, whatever it is. Good. Let me ask a couple of questions here. First of all, I agree that this is an excellent tool to use. I'm a big believer in listening to the voice of the customer, and the customer are their citizens or taxpayers or the folks that are sending out this. And this is a way that we can get an accurate viewpoint. It's great to get it qualitatively when we do town hall meetings, but to really see it, I think it's fabulous. I'm amazed at the fact that was all blue, that one map. Yeah, what's the margin of error there? Could there be a statistical mistake there?
No, in other words, at the end of the day, when people are asked to rate the overall.
But what page was that?
That is page 8, I believe, and I think they're going to it over there. It was just up there. 15. I'm sorry, it was there.
15.
Yeah. What this does is what this shows me is the city of Dallas as a government has a good brand. So at the end of the day, there may be specific issues with the city, certain services that are different, you know, and perceptions are different in one area of the city or the other. But at the end of the day, the brand of the city is fairly uniform. So when people are asked to rate overall quality of service delivery, you get about the same result regardless of where you live, and that's really impressive.
Have you seen that in other cities?
Typically in a large city like this.
Really?
Typically there are major divisions within most cities. The city manager had asked me to provide a few other maps, but when you look at the maps, you can tell which city it is, and my clients who have the divisions
probably
wouldn't be happy to have their maps shown up today. So.
Okay. I've just but that 2.5% statistical variance wouldn't impact and change those colors.
Well, within each district, the margin of error is more around plus or minus 9.8%.
Okay.
So within, you could see some differences.
So there might be something statistically inaccurate there.
It's possible, but overall, typically this is very rare for a city of this size with as much diversity that exists in the city. And usually, I only see maps that are all the same color more in suburban communities. That are basically developed about the same time.
I'm not challenging you. I was just the map.
Yeah, I believe the city's brand, the overall brand of the city, is what's really being put up here. At the end of the day, when people think about the city of Dallas as a government, they feel pretty good about it throughout the city, but they may have issues with certain services. So it may be that police rates better in one district than another.
Yeah, I understand that. And that's why, to Ms. Davis's point, getting that information to everybody, I think, would be helpful. I know that this information is proprietary for other cities, so let me ask the question this way. There's got to be somebody out there that's better than us. Okay. What are they doing that we can learn from?
Yeah, I'd say the things that cities that do the very best is they actively respond to the issues with communication and investment. So in other words, if they know that infrastructure is an issue and public safety is an issue, they respond aggressively. Let the community know that the government owns that issue. The government's not defending it, that it's not where people want it to be.
So they're pushing the message out more?
They're pushing the message, and they take responsibility for making it better. So in other words, we know our roads need to be better, and we're doing something about it, and here's what we're going to do. Rather than, you know, your road isn't as bad as you think it is. You know, that's not the right response. And the other thing is communities. Miami-Dade has struggled the last couple years, but during the first part of the last decade, they were really aggressive in using infrastructure to address public safety issues. Because what happens is if you're in a decaying area where the streets are falling apart, there's no street lighting, you might feel really unsafe even if there's no crime. And what they found is by using infrastructure investments, they actually saw public safety ratings improve without putting police officers out there. They just changed the environment and people felt safer because things looked better. And so that's what some of the other communities are doing. But having the local government own the issues that are a concern and having plans and communicating what those plans are to the community, I think, are really the keys.
Can you give us best practices?
Absolutely.
I think that's, I mean, I'm not asking for everybody's ratings, right, but if you could say this is best in class, this is what they're doing, this is how this is helpful, too, to learn in that. So that would be helpful. The last point, I agree with Jerry. I think talking about city staff and the ACMs is very important. But I also want to applaud this city council. You guys have been here 6 years, and some of you that have been moving off have been here 8 years. And the tenor of the council and how we present ourselves to the citizens is extremely important on that perception page, Jerry. You know, when they say in perception, it's just not just the work that's done, but it's how we appear. And that's why I believe in the tone of civility and transparency for citizens. So congratulations to the city council in that regard. So that being said, oh, yeah, Mr. Allen. Yeah.
And I just want to say again how much I appreciate. Where is your home?
We're based actually in Olathe, Kansas. So if you have a Garmin, it's their international headquarters is across the street from our office.
So. All right. So the as we look it up, and Mr. Mayor, just I noticed with ETC Institute, and just from credentials that we have on this, from what I'm seeing yourself, you have an MBA management, Kansas State University. In 1996, you were first in your class at Princeton University. Political science, economics, magna cum laude. So you got some credentials behind you. So, again, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you, but he didn't go to Lake Highlands. That's an inside joke. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Mr. Atkins, you're up for our next focus.
Well, it's been a great opportunity, and I'm still going to be working with Councilwoman De La Hasso. She has been a great person. You know, a whole lot of people don't realize that, you know, my office had been in her district for the last 6 years. I'm still paying rent over there. And everybody keeps saying, why are you paying rent in District 1? You're in District 8. But that was a great offer to look downtown and close to work. But she had been great. You know, we think about a streetcar connecting from Oak Cliff to downtown. And that leadership, you know, took a whole lot of bringing all different type of community together to say, hey, we need a streetcar. Now it's coming to reality. You also look at graffiti. You know, the graffiti, you know, everyone said, how do we get the graffiti off the wall? And now in July, it's going to be a mural. You know, we're trying to graffiti in the mural. And so with your leadership and had that vision to take graffiti and do something different, and I applaud you with that. She's going to leave a great legacy, you know, with the Oak Cliff Complete Street, you know, met the hospital. She's still working on Jefferson Boulevard. If you're not familiar with Jefferson, it's the idea for Complete Street. And I kind of look at Jefferson Boulevard, Duane, way back in the early 60s and 70s on Forest Avenue.
It was complete street. You could walk, you could dine, you could entertain, but it's coming back to reality. And I hope that you still be part of that. And I know you're born in the city of Dallas, and your heart is in Oak Cliff, and especially with the Bishop Art District. You know, it's great. If you haven't been to Bishop Art, you need to come. It's a mirror, but we're going to miss you. We have your number. We know where you live at. And we will call on you, especially when and Linda leaving here, so I don't know who the guru is going to be in transportation and streetcars and make sure that we have the revenue and O&M to finish that, but we will be looking for you to come back.
Thank you very much, Mr. Atkins. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And as Ms. Hossel knows, and her husband as well, the judge, you two have both been so dedicated to service here in the city. And as Tanel has said, and I don't necessarily have to repeat, but streetcars and domestic violence and graffiti and Bishop Arts, those things are different because of your commitment here in the city. We're going to miss you. We need to understand that. But we're not going to let you get far. You've done and have been very tremendous. Your service with Dallas Can, serving those kids. They're going to get a little bit more of you, but there's a mosquito in here. Where's Zach? Okay. But your service to Dallas Can and this city will be always and very well appreciated, okay? So thank you for all your service.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor, so much. First of all, I'd like to say farewell to Miss Linda Coop.
We're going to talk about her later.
Oh, we're going to talk about Linda later?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I just want to just get a shot in and to Linda. And I was just waiting since we're going to talk about Linda later. But to Pauline.
We're going to talk about Pauline later.
We're going to talk about Pauline later.
We're just talking about Dahlia right now.
Oh, we're talking about Dahlia. Okay, I know we're just naming, just going around naming people. Dahlia.
We're going to talk about Angela later.
Let me put my glasses on so I can see what I'm doing. Well, first of all, I just want to say, you know, thank you for a well job that you have served here on the city council. Domestic violence has been one of your pet peeves, and I thank you for bringing that out for the world to know about domestic violence. Also, graffiti, you've done an outstanding job on graffiti, and you love your district, you love your neighborhood, you're passionate to it, and there's nothing wrong with that at the end of the day. You stood up for what you believed in. You voted on your conscience and your heart. And at the end of the day, that what makes good government. And so thank you for just an outstanding job. And you will be missed. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Grayson.
Dahlia, I want to focus on your work for the domestic violence advocate victim advocate community, and what an outstanding job you did with that. These 2 years have seen great strides, and you were responsible for a lot of that. I know that the victim advocate community was excited when they found out that you were going to take over as chair of the task force, and their faith in you has been well rewarded. You have done a terrific job, and thank you for that, because it's such an important issue. You've brought it out to the forefront. Then the mayor came out with, you know, in the forefront of that, and the two of you have worked together and made a significant amount of progress. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I've enjoyed sitting with you for the last 3 years.
I know.
Yeah. She'd kick me every time I wouldn't go along with her. But anyway, honey, we're going to miss you tremendously. You've done a great job. Like Ms. Grayson said, in public safety, you've really been an advocate and a champion there. Also on your complete streets, very jealous of you. I really wanted my Bishop Arts over East Dallas, but you're a fighter. You go after something, you get it. And I just appreciate everything you've done, your friendship, and hope to see you in the future. Thanks for all you've done for the city of Dallas. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. To my other seatmate, again, a wonderful, wonderful experience having the opportunity to sit next to you in this venue. We will be other places. We will do other things together. Once you enter public service, you do not leave that. You've simply taken a hiatus, but know well that your public service will continue to be needed. And in this community, we will find a way to help you to continue to serve in the public. I need you to know one other thing. If you have the opportunity in some other venue to be my seatmate, and you eat one more muffin and do not offer me a part of it, I am going to break your leg. All the best. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Margone.
Delia, it's been a real pleasure getting to know you these past 4 years. We have a lot in common. We have daughters who just graduated college. We have sons about the same age. And so it's been wonderful having your friendship. In addition, I admire so much the way you have taken causes and seized them. And no one so far has mentioned your advocacy of the animal shelter. And that has been tremendous. As a matter of fact, because of you, Linda and I did an event in Preston Hollow Park for dog pet adoptions, and that was really because of your work. So I admire all you've done for your district and all you've done for the city, and I appreciate your friendship.
Thank you, Ms. Margolin. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you. Ms. Hassel, I think that we made history with our town hall meetings and our presentations to increase awareness of Hispanic heritage, especially here at City Hall. You specifically brought the cast of Dallas here, and so we really enjoyed it. And we definitely, I got to know you a lot better in our trip to Spain, and perhaps we'll do it another time. Thank you. Enjoy. Godspeed.
Thank you. Ms. Coop.
Thank you. I just want to thank Delia for her friendship, and we've worked hard on a couple of different projects. If you have a problem with the color of the streetcar, be sure you call Ms. Hasso on it. And that is an inside joke. We've worked hard on trails. We've worked hard on streetcars. We've worked hard on infrastructure. We've worked hard on getting a bus circulator into Oak Cliff and through downtown. And those things wouldn't have happened without your advocacy there. And you have a tremendous fan group here with all the social advocacy that you've done. But, you know, there's a different side of you, too, that looks at infrastructure. And so important in your district. It was so important. And you recognized that early on. And I've really enjoyed working with you. We've had a lot of fun doing the things that we've done. And so, you know, when you enjoy what you do, it's not really work, that's for sure. And I've also enjoyed getting to know your lovely family and your daughters. Just, you know, we're so proud of all her successes as well. We're going to bid you adieu, but certainly not goodbye. That's for sure. We'll see you. We'll all get together, have good times together afterwards as well. Thank you, Delia.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. And I'm sorry, Mr. Allen. Oh, Ms. Lonzo, you guys.
Ms. Hasso, you've heard a lot of the accolades and the accomplishments and stuff. At the end of the day, you're just a class lady. And what an asset for the city of Dallas. I've just enjoyed you so much over these last 4 years. And pretty much we've always sang kind of from the same page on a lot of issues and such. But I've just really enjoyed getting to know you and your family. And I'll say it one last time, just a real asset for the city of Dallas. And so, good things in front of you. So appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. Ms. Hassel, Delia, thank you very much. You know, Delia and I served on the park board and we accomplished a lot, as well as we serve on the city council together. So as they talk about your seatmates, I'm going to say my office mate, because we're right next to each other. We'll be able to communicate. Thank you very much for everything. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. So thank you, Delia. We'll talk to you later. Let's move on to the next agenda item, which is the budget. Ms. Bassoon?
This is our final presentation before your break, and as we've said to you many times before, the idea today is for you to see the direction we're going so there won't be any surprises when you come back in August. Certainly, the Dallas economy is beginning to get a little bit better. It's pretty gradual, so the budget focuses on critical areas and maintaining our services that we have without any cuts this time. So that's where we're driving toward. Interestingly enough, and I was really pleased, you know, that it worked out this way, that clearly the staff and the people that are working on the budget recognize what the community is saying that needs to be done, and you will see extra money in here for police and fire and for infrastructure. So it is a reflection, you know, it helps to know what the survey said and what we need to spend a little bit of extra money on, and a little bit of extra is all we've got. Be glad to answer any questions when we're through at this point, and the next time we'll be back with you is with a balanced budget. I believe that's going to be possible to do, although challenging, but certainly this year is going more smoothly in that regard than it has in the past 4 and 5. So, Jean.
Good morning. This morning's briefing follows the same format that you've seen the last two briefings. So I'll review the progress that we've made since the last briefing. And this briefing also includes a preview of the Water Utilities and Sanitation Services budget. I have a short update on both the 06 and the 2012 bond program, and then a schedule of all the next steps to get the budget adopted. So as a reminder, our current year budget for fiscal year 12-13 was adopted back on September 19th. The staff monitors the current year expenditures and revenues. We produce a monthly financial forecast report that is sent out to the council. This budget outlook deals with next year's budget for fiscal year 13-14, so we're forecasting out for the year that starts on October 1st, 2013. So continuing to refine and work on our forecast constantly. As Ms. Sim said, we are focusing on maintaining our current year service levels, our commitment to our ongoing obligations, and addressing our most critical needs. We are going to eliminate any gap or differential between revenues and expenditures before the presentation of the proposed budget in August, and we continue to refine our forecast as we get additional information. The next slide shows you where we've been and where we are right now. So back in February, we showed a differential of about $37 million and have made progress to today's forecast of a little over $22 million. And then on August 7th, that differential would be zero. So looking first at the city's revenues, you've seen this pie chart before that just shows you the different breakdowns of where all of the general fund revenues are coming from, majority being property tax, sales tax, franchise fees, and sanitation. The property tax is the largest revenue source to the general fund. We have gotten some of our preliminary data, the appraisals that are currently being appealed at the various appraisal districts right now. So we are looking at an assumption of about a 3% rate of growth in the tax base. What this growth rate also allows us to do is to shift a portion of the tax rate out of the debt service fund and to the general fund. This may be temporary depending on how the growth in the tax base continues, but in order to continue our bond program implementations, there may be a shift in the future, but we won't know that until we get there. We will have certified tax rolls no later than July the 25th, and then once we get those, then we would finalize our tax revenue for the upcoming year. So you can see on the graph on this slide how the tax base has changed over the year. We did have growth in the current year, and we are anticipating that a little over 3% for next year. Moving on to our sales tax estimate, about 22% of our general fund revenue is from sales tax. We had a peak back in 2007-08 and then some pretty significant declines in 2008-09 particularly, and then again in 2009-10. But the good news has been that since March of 2010, we've had 38 consecutive months of growth in the current portion of the sales tax collections. So we're looking at a budget for 13-14 that's about 1.9% better than our current year estimate. So our current year estimate of $237 million, a 14 budget of $241 million, shown also graphically on the next page. And then looking at some other of our revenues, no real changes in our franchise revenues for the upcoming year. We are looking at our residential and landfill tipping fees and potentially may need to increase the monthly collection fee for residential garbage and recycling from anywhere between 25 to 50 cents per month. Looking at all other revenues in the general fund, you've seen this information before. We do have a projection of an increase in our EMS billing revenue. There is a supplemental payment program available from the federal government that can help us recover some of our uncollected costs related to Medicare transports for ambulances. So the slide on page 14 summarizes where we've been and where we are now with our revenue forecast. So you can see the changes between each of the briefings, most significantly increase in property tax and sales tax, bringing our revenue forecast to $1,077,000,000. So then switching over to the expenditure side of the budget, briefed you before on how our process works. The departments each submit bids to provide services in the upcoming year. Those bids are then prioritized by the key focus area teams and the city manager's office. So then that revenue of $1,077,000,000 is then allocated to each of those key focus areas, and we look at where the money runs out, and then we have asterisked those bids that are considered most critical and should be funded when funding becomes available. So that differential is the $22.7 million that you see is identified as the gap. So looking at each of the six key focus areas and how they are funded for the upcoming year, you can see where the unfunded portions fall in each of the key focus areas. And then we do have a catch-all of citywide costs that will be allocated later. So you see that now, but you will not see that in August. So looking at the individual key focus areas, public safety continues all of the services that you see in the current fiscal year, police and fire, EMS, municipal courts as well. And then looking at some of our increased obligations and enhancements, we need to provide the full-year funding of the education pay for police and fire. That was part of the meet and confer agreement. We have some costs related to the COPS grant. Our funding was for a three-year period. That period has run out. We need to replace marked squad cars, and then also looking to restore step pay for police and fire as that was suspended out of the meet and confer agreement. Additionally, there's increased costs related to the jail contract. And as we've seen our population grow, we do need to add some police officers above attrition to respond to that population growth, and also call takers in our 911 call center to respond to the increased volume of 911 calls. We do need to train 88 firefighters as paramedics in the upcoming fiscal year as well. The economic vibrancy key focus area continues to fund our traffic and street maintenance programs, as well as our economic development initiatives, area redevelopment, international businesses, street lighting, and the operation of Fair Park. Some of the increased obligations and enhancements for that key focus area are an upgrade to the city's traffic signal system. We are able to leverage federal funds in order to install that upgrade. like Ms. Thum said, additional funding allocated for street maintenance to add 60 lane miles of slurry, 30 lane miles of microsurfacing, and 15 lane miles of partial reconstruction. Adding two positions in the Economic Development Department to coordinate some of our complex redevelopment projects. Additionally, we have funding for the Light Up Fair Park initiative, remediation of underground storage tanks, and historic preservation cost transfer from the Building Inspection Fund. The Clean Healthy Environment key focus area has all of the services above the line or asterisked. This would be sanitation, environmental services, code enforcement. We are recommending the addition of two sanitarians for food protection, an environmental specialist for mosquito abatement, and additional funding for the Homeless Assistance Center. In culture arts and recreation, this is your cultural service contracts, recreation centers, the stipend with the Dallas Zoo Management, golf and tennis centers. There is an increase in our contract with the zoo, as well as some O&M costs for new facilities that go online either this year or next year. The educational enhancements key focus area, this is mostly our library, so we maintain our library hours and materials for the upcoming year. And we also will begin to replace the public use computers in the libraries as are past their useful life and need to be replaced. Our E3 government, most of the administrative aspects of the city, appraisal districts, TIF payments, and also the administrative costs that are citywide is lumped together right now in the E3 key focus area. Some of the enhancements include adding additional positions in the city attorney's office, general counsel, and litigation, as well as to assist with our collection efforts, positions in the auditor's office and civil service, a position to oversee the ethics program, as well as funding for the earned income tax credit program. We also have funding for phase two of our pay compensation study for hard-to-fill and underpaid positions. We also need to increase the funding for the contingency reserve for the FMPC, and we do have some increases in our fleet maintenance costs. We have a larger and older fleet, costs a little bit more to maintain, as well as funding requirements for our insurance programs and our reserves, our liability program. So, again, the differential between the revenues and expenditures is currently $22.7 million, and that is the amount we'll be working to resolve before the budget is presented on August the 7th. So then quickly looking at the water utilities, preliminary look at the budget, operating budget of $588 million with a capital budget of slightly under $300 million. The retail revenues would be projected to increase by about 5.5%. So a residential customer would see a bill increase of about 4 to 5% over the current rates. The revenue increases are related to continuing our commitment to provide high-quality water and wastewater to our customers, as well as our per capita water consumption. And then there's an outlook on rate increases going forward after that. On sanitation, the budget will continue to provide for our One Day Dallas, which is the residential garbage and recycling pickup once a week, monthly residential brush and bulky collection, as well as the operation of the landfill. So we're currently reviewing the residential fee and potential increase of about 25 cents to 50 cents a month. Some of the cost drivers there are our labor contracts, compensation for employees, and our fleet maintenance expenses. Currently also looking at the landfill tipping fee of $21.50 a ton. I have a couple of charts on the status of the bond program. So the first chart is the 06 bond program, and it's well underway, and so you can see that over about 74% of the projects are complete, 11.5% are underway, and the construction phase, 9.2 in the design phase, and then 4.2% scheduled. So there are a couple of propositions that don't quite fit into the allocation, and we can answer any questions on those separately. And then this is a graphic chart of the status of the bond the 06 bond program. The 2012 bond program, since it was just recently voted on, is more in the planning phase. So you can see by fiscal year how much will be allocated for each of the propositions in the upcoming fiscal year. So about, let's see, $153 million for the upcoming fiscal year out of the 2012 bond program. And then our schedule to complete the budget, page 42 has all passed. And then you'll see the budget presentation on August the 7th, which is a Wednesday, and then town hall meetings will begin on the next day on Thursday. Have a couple of budget workshops and public hearing, and then plan to do the final adoption on the budget on September the 18th. So at this point, we'll go to questions, and then after that, we can talk about citizen involvement in the budget.
Thank you, Jean. Mr. Atkins.
Jean, on page 38, and you go to the economic development, it said all fund allocated on the negotiation. What do you mean by that?
I'll let Ryan answer that.
Yes, sir. The funds from the 2006 bond program are either spent under contract or being negotiated. And so we will be looking at the 2012 bond program for future ECO deals.
So some program have not been spent. Some is on the contract, but the contract had not came before council, right?
No, they would have come to council.
They would have come to council.
Yes.
All right, that's what I need. I guess, Ryan, another question. Revenue on building permit. Do they show that we grew in revenue and building permit in this budget last cycle?
Yeah, the building permits have been increasing in value over the last 2 years and are on track to do that again this year in terms of overall building permit value.
So I think last year we were roughly about $600 or $700 million, which about $5 million to the general fund. So can you tell me where we are now, which would be going to this budget?
What I can tell you is the building permit values that have been issued this year, you can't directly translate that into value, but I can give you the permit values.
Oh, thank you. The other question, and I know, Mary, you know, I have been asking this. I think, Jerry, you know, if I'm incorrect, correct me, Jerry, that when we look at the budget, you know, I know we look at 1 year out, you know, 1 year, you know, take 1 year at a time. Since I've been here, I always like look at a three-year forecast. You know, if I can go back and look at maybe 2010 to 2011, 2011 to 2012, and 2012 to 2013, I would just had a little chart just a subliminal up there. So how did we look at it? Then I also would love to see at this budget, how did we look at 2013, 14, 14, 15, 15, 17, just up there to give us a guidance where we're going into next year. So I know one time it was like $130-something million shortfall, and we kind of creep out of that shortfall.
Mr. Atkins, we were going to include that in the budget presentation in August. I didn't forget you wanted it. We'll have all of that with that budget presentation for this year. Looking forward, looking backward too.
Okay, thank you. That's all I need.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Mr. Gaudet.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Gene, on page 38, number 9 of Farmers Market, you've got one project, and this is a bond project, and you're saying it. Is that still good, or do we not have that project any longer?
Mr. Kinane, you may recall in the 2006 bond program, there were, in 2003, too, for that matter, there were some bond funds allocated to do some additional maintenance and some sewer work at Farmers Market.
That's right.
Those efforts were suspended when we began the privatization effort because
right.
We figured we didn't want to build something and then have to tear it up.
Right.
So those funds are reserved for the privatization effort that you all have approved.
Okay, so we'll still be using those funds.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Gaudin. Let's go to Mr. Allen, and then we'll get back with Ms. Grayson.
Slide 40.
That's not the one I want. The 2012 bond program schedule. So it's probably either 39 or 41. I got page 40 on mine.
That's the 2012.
That's the 2012 one. Okay, good. The address the real quick. Just give us an overview of the debt ratio and where we stand in regards to that.
So we're at about, 32% debt service, 67% general fund this year. Right now, because we've had a little more growth in the tax base than we anticipated, we'll be able to shift a little more than a penny from the debt service part of the rate to the general fund part of the rate.
That 32% compared to other cities, just still a little bit high?
It depends on the city. I think we're lower than San Antonio, but probably higher than some others.
Okay,
it just depends on the individual city.
Okay. Again, you're comfortable at the 32% range?
We're comfortable, yeah.
With that, we see some of these projects, of course, they go out to 2017 and I guess beyond. One of the challenges we face, obviously, during this period of time is as you have a recession, we've been very successful in low cost of the funds. Obviously, the material cost is down, and there are a lot of eager people ready to bid low. Do you see these costs, for lack of better words, going up?
They're beginning to creep up a little bit, yes. Just a little, but we're seeing it.
How do you offset that? How do you offset the debt ratio, the debt coverage, versus being able to take advantage the low cost? Instead of waiting where you know the cost is going to go
our
up?
Our projection for the bond program included those, and so it includes the fact that you can get the early projects lower and the later projects are a little higher. So our estimations figure that in. We don't always hit it right exactly, but we know we look out to see what we think is going to happen with materials and construction costs and incorporate that in the out years.
Okay. No sense of urgency to try to do it now compared to 3 years later, or is it a capacity issue?
Well, it's a capacity issue, and yes, that would be good, but you don't want to push your debt too much.
So. Okay. One last thing. Let's go to slide 26. The very last bullet item, the Bridge Homeless Assistance Center, additional support from the city, a little bit of an enhancement going on. Just want to say thank you to that, Mary. The Bridge has been extremely successful, and I think it's something that as I go through other cities and I see the folks on the streets, and I go through Dallas and I don't see that like I used to, you can only attribute that to the great work that the Bridge is doing. So thank you for your leadership in regards to that.
They get a little bit more money from the county this year, too. So.
Well, that was with your leadership. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you. Mary,
yes, ma'am.
I just want to say thank you for hearing us on restoring the mowing cycles, the parkland maintenance, and thank you for hearing us on the 911 call takers. I think that's so important. I guess it's looking really good to me. I guess if I was, had my wish list, I'd hope that we could find money for the police and fire step.
No, the step is in there.
Is it in there?
Yeah.
I thought it was below
the
line.
Nope.
Oh, good. That is good news.
It'll be there.
And then if you could, if there was just $450,000 laying around that you just didn't know what to do with.
No, probably counted that frequently.
The horticulture, I think, would be great because it would add a lot of quality of life to the neighborhoods. But, that's if you can find that money.
What was that, Ms. Grayson?
Plantings.
It's plantings that we used to do, and, boy, they were great. And then as the budget, years got bad, we stopped doing it. And so if we could start doing that again, I think it would really add a lot to the neighborhood quality of life. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Ms. Hassel.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a quick question on page 8. We talk a little bit about collection of fees, and this was a question that I had for you a couple of months ago, but I'm very concerned that we're not collecting, not doing a good job of collecting delinquent property taxes from, you know, either owners that are, you know, somewhere else. So, and you told me that Linebarger Gogan was the company that we used to track down those delinquent taxes that were not getting collected to add to our revenue. So I, you know, talking about 3-year forecasts like Mr. Atkins has talked about, I would like to see how we can do a better job of collecting delinquent taxes through that attorney's office or through that law firm. Mm-hmm. If they're collecting our taxes already, that's fine. And I know they're sending out notices if you don't pay them. But then what happens after that? I mean, I think we're sort of, I don't want the ball to drop. I want to be sure that we're collecting as much as we can on delinquent taxes, because those are revenues that directly affect us. They don't come to us if nobody pays them. But if we've stopped going after the delinquencies, then, you know, we'll have the same number over and over again every year.
Certainly, they continue to pursue all delinquent property tax owners, property owners. They have a number of avenues that they pursue. Some people, we take them to court. Some people, we can, you know, try to work with them on a payment plan. It just depends on each property owner's individual situation, but I can definitely send out some more detail on the efforts that are made. But it, you're right, it is a very important part of our revenue stream.
Absolutely. Again, I think if at least the council members have some information on what that firm is mm-hmm. doing to collect our delinquent taxes to add to our revenues, that would certainly be helpful. And maybe it is a 3-year strategy that, you know, if they've been doing the same way for the past 5 years, and it's time to do something different to get a different result.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hasso. Any other questions, thoughts? Ms. Grayson, you're up.
Oh.
Tell me for what? I mean, you know. No, I get it. Okay. The mayor has asked me to start off talking about Angela, which is my great, great pleasure. I thought I first met Angela in 2007 when we were at a meeting together, and I thought, wow, look at that really sharp young lady. But it turns out that I was first impressed by her in 2002 when she came down to the council, and she came to us asking us for approval of the M Streets Conservation District. And I remember at the time, you know how we hear so many speakers every week, and some of them really grab your attention, and I remember at the time how impressive she was. And after we voted through and approved the Conservation District, I kind of waved to her in the audience, and she came up, and I said, you know, that was so impressive, and you did such a great job. And then here, 5 years later, there I meet this lady again, and she was heading up an effort that some of you may not have agreed with, which was the referendum on the Trinity Toll Road. And however you felt about that referendum or about the toll road, I don't think anybody could deny the leadership that she showed in organizing a massive grassroots effort, getting all those signatures, getting it on the ballot, and the courage it took to do that in the face of tremendous opposition. And I want to say that I respect and applaud that courage and that leadership. She actually won an award from the League of Women Voters for the courage and leadership she showed doing that. And I was so proud to do that with her, and I saw how hard she worked and how close she came to getting that done. And like I said, no matter how you might feel about the issue itself, you've got to respect and admire what she did with that. And then I saw her, and at the time we thought, wouldn't it be cool to serve on the council together? And then we got the opportunity to do that for the last 2 years. And I have totally enjoyed serving with Angela. I've admired her dedication to neighborhoods and to quality of life issues. She's chaired the Quality of Life Committee, We've pushed through a number of really good changes while she's been chair of that committee. And I just want to applaud her service. I think the city is better for it. I personally have enjoyed having her sitting next to me. And I just am going to miss you tremendously, as I know we all are. And then she did all this while having two little babies.
Two.
So who could do that? So bravo.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mayor. And I've got to thank Angela. Angela's one of my advocates when I first came to council here. I think it was after our first meeting. She came into my room and said, I just need to talk to you about something. And she's been helped me that way ever since, and I appreciate that. And I'll tell you, thank you so much for the bikes, trails that you've worked on and advocated. And you've done it. I think it started out citywide and ended up regional. And it's all over our region, and you've done a fantastic job there with the bike trails. Also, there's several things. I mean, we agree, we disagree, but the one main thing, we've maintained friendship. We've been, we do our budget reviews together, and there's several other things we've done together. But you're going out with a bang with your new bridge, and she's advocated this from day one, is the bridge going over Mockingbird at our Mockingbird station. And it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a pretty bridge, but it's going to be a safe bridge. It's going to make that one of the greatest trails this city has. It'll go from White Rock all the way to American Airlines Center. And I promise it'll be utilized more than any other. So thank you for your fantastic advocate for your community. You've done a great job. Thank you, and I've enjoyed working with you. You've been an asset to the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Ms. Coop.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, Angela and I came on together. This very bright young woman, you know, at the time didn't have any children. You can't imagine the excitement among all the women on the council when Angela had children. No, I mean, it was just like the happy day of the little happy dance, you know, the little Snoopy happy dance. It was really a wonderful day that day, and sharing your children with us was really a blessing for all of us. But when we first met, we all went out to lunch. I think we visited everybody's districts and our new group, and got to know one another. And Angela's a very special woman. She's very, very bright, and she so cares about her neighborhoods. And went through those fights with Lower Greenville every year. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't believe she's still sticking with this. Is it ever going to work down there? And just gradually crept up on it. You know, did a complete street down there. Then another bond program is going to have another part of that street. I mean, just gradually started to transform that area. And I know that's difficult. You had two competing sides, as with Ms. Margolin. You know, when you have two competing sides, it's very challenging. There is no other district in the city that has as many zoning cases as Angela's district. I am telling you, I think,
and we
used to laugh because, yeah, there should be an award. We used to laugh because I didn't have any. So one day when I got a zoning case, it was like 4 years into my term. I said, okay, what am I going to do with this? I've got this zoning case. How should I handle this? And got great advice. And throughout the years, we sat in one of those offices, had really good talks and good philosophical talks, good talks on policy. And I've really appreciated your intellect on that. And I've really appreciated also getting to know your family. I know we went on a trip to Portland when we were younger in our tenure and really saw some terrific things there in Portland. Had a great time. Saw your advocacy for the bike lanes and all things bikes. And you've really brought that to the council. That has really been your issue to bring forward to the council in a global perspective. And I think Mr. Cadane is right because you guys chaired the committee together. By both of your advocacies for bike lanes and for also for bike trails, the rest of the region sees that. And then all of a sudden, they want that. And they want to connect. And I think that Sheffy and I see that at RTC, along with our other colleagues, that has really brought to the forefront another mode of transportation, which serves 2% of the people, which is an important mode of transportation and one that we take seriously. So, Angela, it's not goodbye. We'll see one another. And we do want to have baby viewing time as well. So we require that of our former council members, that they continue that with us. But I so enjoy getting to know you. It's really been a pleasure to get to know you and an honor to work with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. Mr. Allen.
You know, Angela, you got your red on, and I always knew when you had red on, you was coming to play. You know, that's part of it, man. She's got a red on. She's coming to play today. And one of the things that it sounds corny, but I've really thought about this, that I'm going to miss. And, I'm still a young man. At least I think I am. I can't play basketball anymore. But anyway, it's seriously watching your kids grow up. Because about 20, 25 years from now, they are so special, and you can just already see it in them and what they're going to become. And then I would love to fast forward just to watch them, because you can just see just how cool, from day one. It was, seriously, I'll be at that age in life. Hopefully I can even remember my name, but, you know, it's at the end of the day. We haven't always seen eye to eye on everything, but at the end of the day, we've had this, great respect for each other. And because I knew, again, you were coming to play. And you made me a better councilman because I knew you were coming to play. And I always knew then that if I did my job correctly, you would have your red computer in front of you. You and I sit just like this. And if I did my job correctly and we had maybe a difference of opinion, you'd be looking at your computer. And if I did my homework, all of a sudden your head would go like this. And we'd lock eyes. And then I knew it was showtime. It was showtime. And, tremendous amount of, seriously, tremendous amount of respect, tremendous amount of respect. So, again, fast forward those kids for me, will you? Thank you, Angela.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. Madrada.
And the color is hunt red. Well, District 14 has always been my eastern border of the district, and I do believe in some neighborhoods they feel they have two council members because whatever is good for one side of the street is good for the other side of the street. So whether it was Cedar Springs, Greenville, Katy Lighting, the Katy Trail, Mata, Klein Warren Park, Arts District, I think we're all in. And, you know, you mentioned the babies. Let me see. Angela and I don't know, for some reason I was thinking about Angela one day, and I walked into her office and said, can I speak to you for a little bit? And she goes, yeah. I said, Angela, when are you going to have babies? And I said, this political life, you know, you're young, you can, you know, run for office anytime, but I think it's time to have, you know, babies. Don't be like me and then regret it, you know, afterwards. And sure enough, about 6 months later, she says, guess what? I'm going to have a baby. So, well, I think she didn't let us know till, you know, maybe Christmas time. But to Audrey Bell and to Abby, you know, having your mommy back, you know, 100% now. And to Paul, I'm sure he appreciates that too. But enjoyed working with you. And I know that Angela and I, we got to know each other really well, but I know that we'll be friends after City Council. Thank you very much for all you do.
Thank you, Ms. Madrano. Mr. Atkins.
Well, Angela, you know, when we first met, you know, it was a long drive on retreat, you know, going to retreat, and then we drove, and I don't know, we were following you. You decided to get in. We got lost. We had to reset to GPS to get there, but we figured it out. But, you know, it's been a great serving with you. You know, one thing that I learned from you, that you're going to do your homework. And how do you do your homework? I mean, it was a time that we had to make a decision. And I got a chance to get to know your family, your mother. You know, many hours I spent at your house. And you were struggling to say, what's the best thing to do for the city of Dallas? And I respect you that, because you went to the community. You went to the people that you didn't want to talk to, but you did listen to those people. And you said, the city of Dallas got to have Bella Street. We got to have Bella Libraries. We got to have Bella Parks. We got to do this. But you didn't rush into it. You did your homework. And And I bond with you. I think it was like brothers and sisters, you know, sitting on the floor and saying, hey, we're going to get this done. And how do we please everyone? But we know we could not please everyone, but your main thought and your main objective is what is best for the city. And many times people think that you don't care about the city, but you got a passion for the city of Dallas. And I saw that just getting to know you. And what I'm going to miss about you is your passion for the city of Dallas.
Thank you. Do you want to talk? Okay, Mr. Carraway.
I just thought I needed to just make a signal or something. This time we're dealing with Ms. Angela Hunt, am I correct?
Yes.
Well, to Ms. Angela Hunt and to our first babies at Dallas City Hall, our first family there. Angela's really been a pleasure working with you. It really has been. You have stood on top of everything, every issue. And even when it was not popular, even when I would be going off and saying all kinds of things and we'd be going back and forth, we went professionally. But we always had and maintained the utmost respect for one another. That's what's good. And that's what citizens need to realize, and even politicians need to realize, that you can agree to disagree. But because you may not agree on every issue, it does not mean that you should disrespect and not like and appreciate the efforts of one another. We have been just fine with all of that. At the end of the day, it was all about the citizens. It was all about the citizen. That's what makes it so well. I really will miss you. I know I'll be reading about you on the tweets. I know you're not going to let us go. You're going to be on that tweeting and Facebooking and all that. So we're going to keep up with you there. But I just want to publicly make you aware that I miss you, have the utmost respect for you, have the utmost respect for all of the things that you've represented. When you look at Lower Greenville and you look at the challenges that you had with the parking and all of the different things that are happening and that you've transformed, you did it with hard work. And you did it with grace. And you did it with meeting and talking to people and listening to your constituents, and you've delivered. It's a new and better area because of your hard work. I was on Greenville the other night, and I was looking at all of the new parking ways and the folks parking, how they're parking and are able to have access up and down Greenville. And that's because of your footprint that you put on it and your stamp. So that's just one thing. There's many that we could talk about. Miss you. Love you. We'll see you Monday for the last time as an official position. But the new hairstyle you got is working. I complimented you on that hairstyle. The little
I would just stop there. I really would. Once you get into coaching on wardrobe.
I'm just going to go on and on and on.
Thank you, Ms. Coop.
And all the other things. Okay, Linda. Angela, they're forcing me to stop, okay? All right. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you. And you'll hear from me on Monday. We'll be talking Monday. So why don't we go to our briefing C, which is our consolidated plan budget amendments, and try to get through that. I think that should be a shorter meeting.
We'll be really brief with you today on this, and we didn't receive any amendments, so I think we're ready to move through this fairly quickly and smoothly. Shane?
There were no amendments received. There were no changes to the budget from your 6th June 5th presentation. So if there are no amendments,
it'll be on your agenda to vote on shortly.
That's correct.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
That was brief. All right. We need to talk about where Mr. Carraway. Where'd you go? Ms. Carraway.
Jeez.
Okay. There we go. We need one other item on the budget. We asked the city manager to come back with some ideas in the town hall meetings, and I just want to kind of look at that, and that was sent out. So, Mary, you want to talk about that?
As you know, we have a lot of town hall meetings, and there are not a lot of us that are able to do budget presentations. So one of the things that you had asked was, are there alternative ways to do town hall meetings, combinations or technology? So we're going to print some. Talk to you about some of these. I would ask, however, don't add one of the technologies to your regular list of meetings, because we just have not got the staff to handle all of that. So if you don't want to pursue one of the technologies, I understand. But if you are interested in it, we need to kind of cut down on the number of meetings and substitute the technology methodology for one of the meetings, if you would, please, and because this summer will be a challenge otherwise, staff-wise. So we've got some good options for you, I think, and some that other people have used and you're familiar with, so we'll be glad to bring them to you. Jean?
So there are four options. The first one is called telephone town hall meeting, and what it is a 1-800 number for participants to dial into. We would advertise it ahead of this call-in, and we can call to your citizens to let them know that the meeting will be taking place. It would be, again, over the phone. You would listen to the presentation. The participants on the call can, they can push a button on their phone, and an operator will take their questions, and then the staff who or the council member who are moderating the call can then answer those questions. It can also be recorded so that others could listen to it at another time. So then the second option is a webinar through AT&T Connect, and you may have done these on your own. So the presentation would be viewable over the internet with audio conferencing, and you would be able to see the presentation as well as a camera shot of the presenter or the person who is speaking. And then the people who are watching it, you would have to have an internet connection in order to be able to join in on this. And then we could also do audio conferencing. If you only had a phone, you could listen in as well. The third option is audio only conferencing, similar to the telephone town hall meeting, except for that the city would manage it ourselves. So that's the next option three, Kathy. And then again, the participants could listen to the call, and we would have an operator available to help moderate the questions from the citizens. And then the fourth option is a DCNN, which is we would stream the video on both our website and the city's cable channel, if you have cable TV, channel 16. And then we can add in audio conferencing to allow people to call in with questions that they might have for the council member or the staff. So that's a really combination of using our cable channel and option three. So those are the four options that we have for you for town hall meetings for next year or for the upcoming fiscal year.
All right, so we've got four pieces of technology. I think the city manager needs some thoughts on what to implement. I'm a fan of some combination. Did you want to keep going?
Oh, that's the end of
that's
it.
That's it. Okay.
I would be glad to we'd be glad to talk with you individually about how you think it would work for your group. We can certainly do that. Could you go back to that last page, please? We can do some of these online without much effort because it'll be a recording. There won't be a chance to respond to questions. Okay. So if you want us to talk to you individually about what the possibilities are here, we'll be glad to come one-on-one to you and talk about how it would work in your area and where you think it would work best and so on. So
the one thing I just wanted to add, to me, I want to get as many of our citizens hearing and seeing what's going on. And which one do you think would maximize that?
One thing we have done in the past is the recording and watching the budget presentation online or on cable TV. That gives folks an opportunity to more folks an opportunity to hear it. And there is a mechanism set up to send questions in that we answer. Now, it's not instantaneous answers, but we've done that a couple of years, and I think we could communicate that more. Interestingly enough, one of the things the survey folks told us was some of your problems may come from not communicating as well as you need to about what you're doing and how you're doing it. So communicating that we'll have this available via online or the cable channel might be a help too. So just think about them. We'll come by and during the next month and talk to you about what you think would work for you. You know it's a challenge sometimes when we have more staff than we do folks from the community at our meeting. So,
I just want to be clear. So, this would, if I got it on my computer and pulled it up, I could listen to a town hall meeting.
Yes, and you could submit questions. They wouldn't be responded to instantaneously. They would be responded to.
Okay, good. Any other?
And you could be aware of. We could keep records of where the questions came from. For you, too, so that you knew what individual was asking the question.
Mr. Cadet?
Thank you, Mayor. Would you try to...
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're looking to implement only one of the four, or could you implement several of them?
We might be able to do several of them. What I'm really concerned about is if you regularly have five town hall meetings, don't add two more of these to your town hall meetings. We just won't be able to staff them and handle them.
But this won't take the place of town hall meetings?
I would hope it would.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping. Yeah. Maybe you would experiment in one or two locations where you think reception for this would be good, and we'd eliminate a town hall meeting. Now, if you don't want to do that, I understand.
Well, if you did option four, would that not be citywide?
Is that, yes, that could
option
be.
Option four,
yes,
would be citywide.
Absolutely. Yes, it could be. But it also could be, it depends on how we communicate it. I want to be sure that your constituents, that we adjust it for your constituents, yeah, that we be sure we communicate with your constituents as you try these things out. And it will be an experiment, and we can see next year what worked and what didn't work. But we want to do it to match your constituents' needs and the way they like to receive the information.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Carraway?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I was probably the last one to jump on board with recycling. But it is working now in my district. And that's for real. Now, with that being said, option number one, and let's go to option number one. Let me just take a look at that. Option number one. Okay, when we get there. Anyway, option number one. I kind of like that. If indeed people can respond, it's just like a regular conference call, and we could hook up, and everybody can be on the phone, and they will have an option, or an opportunity to ask the question, and get a response using option one.
Yes, sir.
All right. So now, can we combine option one with option two? Where let's go to option two.
Let me see option two.
Now they're on the phone live here.
Certainly you could. Yeah.
Now explain option two. What is option two?
That's just the computer.
All right. So that would mean that option two, you got number one with everybody on the phone, and then you also, those that are on option two, they got their computers, like what the mayor was saying, and they could also be on the phone and on their computer.
Yeah.
Okay?
If they needed to be.
If they needed to be. Yeah. Now, what about number three? Maybe number four. Go back to number four. And number four is the visual on our cable television. So now let me ask this now. So if we were in the council chamber and we had our cable television working with a pronounced town hall meeting, with a demonstration going there, with the people on the phone with option one, okay, on the line watching.
Ms. Carraway, I am not going to answer this today.
No, I
need to go think about it. I see what you're saying, but we just need to see how we can do it.
Yeah, I mean, you're watching television.
You got
everybody already on the phone. No. Option one is the deal. Okay, here's in District 4. I'm having this big town hall meeting in District 4. I'm promoting, hey, you can call in on this day, and we're going to be on the telephone, and you line up. Now, for those people that's on the phone, also on that same evening, we program and have them watching the presentation.
Mr. Carraway, let us go sit and talk to you about it, because I don't want to promise anything that we can't do.
I'm not asking to promise. You understand where I'm trying to go, Mayor? I think that we can put them on the phone, and I'm willing to test it.
Let us figure out how to do it and come back. We'll come back to you the next week.
Let me finish, though, Mayor.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want you to promise something I can't do.
I didn't ask you to do nothing yet.
All right.
I'm asking you to do a thing. I'm saying if these people are on the telephone and they're watching our DCN television station while the presentation is going, now they got this on the phone and they got a visual
but they can't communicate through the DCN, but they can communicate here. Mm-hmm. And we promote it in advance that, you know, we're going to have them put on TV. I want you to get on the telephone. We're going to send it out and let everybody know that this is going to go down. And then we could have and the reason I'm saying it is because I have most of the town hall meetings. I think that's really what this is designed for. But anyway. But so instead of me having six, I could save budget, okay? I could save on mailing, okay? And I could save on staffing. And if I just did this maybe a couple of times. But I want to make sure that my constituents can see it, hear it, and ask their questions. Because in my budget town hall meeting, you know, they turn into a regular community meeting after the budget, okay? But I'm willing to try it. It's where I'm trying to go. Okay? But I'm only willing to try it if they can see it and communicate and talk. So we got to have a combination of one and four. Those with computers will have the option to use their computer. We communicate that to them, and we try it out. And I'm willing to be a guinea to try it.
Okay. We're going to see if we can do that.
All right. Now, so when are you coming? Now I'm asking the question. When are you coming to my office so I can see, so I can know in advance?
We'll come next week.
Why we got to wait the next week? That's just another question.
They got to figure out.
I do not want to have a town hall meeting and you up there and it doesn't work, okay?
It's going to work.
Well,
okay.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Hassel.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a question. I know we have a Spanish website. You can click in Espanol. It's on the top right-hand side. And I don't think you need translation as the budget town hall meetings are happening. We didn't really find it in the town hall meeting that we had, the three of us Latinas, when we had ours last year. However, I do think you need to have the budget information available in Spanish on the website.
Okay.
And somehow get that information out to the Spanish-speaking public that they can go to the website and then call their respective council person if they have a question.
Okay. We'll be sure that happens.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Great. Ms. Alonzo.
Just wanted to share that these are options, not necessarily that aside from what we're doing, because there are, I mean, like, for example, senior citizens that will be respectful, and they're not necessarily that they have to go through this to be able to participate. It's just an option. Correct.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. It is 11:40 a.m., June 19th. 2013, the City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda: legal issues involving the Supplement Agreement Number 1 to the Professional Services Contract with Moses Palmer and Howell LLP and City of Dallas v. SLJ Company LLC et al. We are going to reconvene. I think this should be short enough. We can have lunch, and we'll get back here at 1 o'clock for the public hearings in the afternoon agenda. If everybody kind of moves. Well, we're going to start with our actions this afternoon and our public hearings, but before we do that, we have a council member that is leaving and has a summer birthday. So, first of all, Ms. Alonzo has something for Ms. Coop, and then I'm going to turn it over to Judge Hill to speak. So, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you. Colleagues, I think we're going to have to restructure this again, because thanks to Ms. Margolin, we were able to recognize and celebrate everybody's birthdays at different time frames. And it is my privilege to recognize that Ms. Coop will be celebrating a birthday this week. And since we're meeting today, it's on Monday.
Friday, okay. So
it's on Friday, June 21st, first day of summer. So Ms. Summer over here will be celebrating a birthday. And so we have a nice treat for you, or on your behalf, that you can share if you want, and if we can wish her a birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Linda. Happy birthday to you.
And we have a nice cake. We want you to cut it first, okay?
And I have been told that there are several council members that want a piece, so we need to. Yes, I hate to. Judge Hill, do you have something to say to kick us off?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Coop, it was at a birthday party of young children several years ago in an elementary school classroom where I heard the children say, "Let us give the gift of words." And so today, I want to give you a gift of words as you prepare to transition from this horseshoe to your next venue of service. Three words that I think describe you well. Expert. Expert in transportation. Always, we on this council, on the RTC, and throughout the region have looked to your expertise and respect your tremendous knowledge in transportation. You have changed the region, and we thank you for that. The second word that comes to mind when I think of you is compromise. You always look for the way to have us compromise. Whether it's here or in other places, when we're at loggerheads, you always say, "Now let's think about how we can work this out so that we can compromise." The next word is respect. You carry yourself with dignity and grace, which garners respect for you. But more importantly, you respect all of us. No matter how we may differ or disagree, you respect us as people, as colleagues, and you respect our opinions. For that, we give you applause. Those three words are the three that I give you as gifts as a council member. However, one other word needs to be spoken. This is a personal word, and that word is friend. You have been my friend. As I said earlier, we have not always agreed. You were always wrong.
I'm so surprised.
But always, always, through it all, you have remained my friend. I ask you above all, no matter what you do and where you go, remain my friend. My friend, I thank you for your service. All the best. Thank you, Mr. May.
Thank you, Judge. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Linda, we started here 8 years ago, and I remember, too, riding around with Pauline and Ron Natinsky, and the four of us got together, and we went to all of our council districts and just tried to learn from each other. And over the last 8 years, I personally have learned so much from you. And I think Von Seal said it so well about compromise. And what you do, and I think what your gift has been, is pulling people together on different sides of an issue and not just finding what everyone is, kind of a middle-of-the-road, mealy-mouth compromise. It's really finding a compromise where everyone wins. And that's what's most impressed me about your 8 years of service, because you've done that time and again on issues, whether it's transportation issues or budget issues or many other issues. But you have a real gift for that, and I hope you continue to use that, because it's helped us not just at the city but at the region on transportation issues. You've been an amazing advocate for us, and I hope the folks outside of your district recognize and appreciate what a tremendous advocate you've been for the city of Dallas and for our region, and making sure that we have the transportation dollars we so desperately need when we've been fighting tooth and nail to get those last dimes. You've been there at the forefront making sure that each of these important projects gets done, and you're so knowledgeable about them. And I know anytime I've had a question about transportation, your door has always been open, as it's been open for all of us. And just your generosity and sharing your expertise and your knowledge has been so kind, and it's been wonderful to work with you and to learn from you, and to learn how to handle the political challenges we all face. So thank you for your grace and your leadership. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mayor. Linda, honey, you're going to be so missed, especially by me. Linda's been my mentor. I don't know whether she's known it, but anything that I need help with or I need questions about, I was in her office. She may be happy to get rid of me. I don't know. But she's always there. She's always been helpful. You are Miss Transportation. You are our transportation guru. And I don't know how anybody will fill that seat. I was your vice chair, and I'll tell you, I'm still learning from you. And everything I've learned, I learned from you. You were chairman of the RTC. You were DMRC. I don't know whether you didn't chair that one, did you? Did you? Yeah. But anyway, you've been an asset to this city in transportation, and your shoes are going to be very, very hard to fill. And I just want to thank you for your friendship and let you know I love you very much and going to miss you.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Ms. Davis, now you can speak about Ms. Goode.
Oh, my God. Let me take off my glasses. Linda, thank you so, so much for your support working with me with the SM Right. I continue to look at the video that NTTA did, and I got a copy of that video. Linda, you fought for that community extremely hard. You stepped up to the table, I will always thank you for that. That community has a 1950 nightmare, and it kind of smothered that neighborhood, this particular neighborhood of my district. And you stepped up and you showed out. And I want to thank Von Seal and Sheffy and Sandy for the $2 million support for that community, for the Dead Man's Curve and SM Wright, and now we're looking at connecting Cesar Chavez and Grand. But I just can't say words of what you've done to support me in that neighborhood. And so I thank you so much for everything, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Hassel.
Thank you, Mayor. Linda, you have just been the best advocate for transportation in this whole city. Back in 2009, when I first started talking about streetcars back then, and I learned so much from you, and you were a wonderful advocate on all the committees you served for this streetcar in Dallas, Texas, and it's going to get bigger and bigger, and people need to know that it really was Linda Coop being at the forefront to make the streetcar in Dallas happen. And so I hope people know that when that first track or the first streetcar comes out, that it really was a concentrated effort led by Linda Coop. Really, your expertise and your knowledge helped make this come to fruition, and your advocacy. So thank you so much for that. Thank you for being a friend. You and I talked many times about other things, a very emotional conversation sometimes. So thank you for being my friend and understanding and looking at all sides of an issue and understanding where everybody came from. And again, that word that people put together was compromise, and you really did know how to do that, and you do know how to do that. So I hope to see you soon. I know we're going to get together after this ends, but
you know, I certainly will continue to keep in touch with you, and I will continue to honor your friendship. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hazel. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Coop, thank you very much for everything. I know that every time that I talked to you about something, you were always very open-minded, very helpful, good guidance to be able to know where we're going. But more importantly, you were welcoming and you were inviting. You were willing to see it for yourself to have a better understanding. You know, to date, we still talk about they pay attention more to the north and the south. And I know I had a conversation with you because I represent both the northwest and the southwest. So, but you were willing to come and see the southwest, being from the north, to be able to see what's going on in our neighborhoods and our communities. And I know that you didn't only do it with me, you did with several colleagues. And so I thank you. Everybody talks about your experience and everything that you did in the transportation field. I know that we're going to be missing that little part, but I believe that you guided many of us to be able to move forward with that knowledge and hopefully get more as I talk to you about I-30 and Loop 12. And we need to work on that very much. But thank you again. May God bless you, and may you always remember us when you're over there having fun, that you remember that we have to sit here in the cold room and worry about the problems in the city of Dallas. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. Mr. Atkins.
Well, Linda, I'm not going to roast you. But you're my friend. I mean, you think back, Linda Coop, and she is on the far north end of the district, on the far south end. And she probably know my district better than she know her own district. You know, I guess she'd probably been at every activity I have, every event I have in District 8. And one thing I like about you, when we did have problem with infrastructure, transportation-wise, you didn't talk about it. You hopped in the car, and we drove around, and we looked and see what we could do and the best way how to approach it. One thing people didn't know, Linda Coop was my campaign manager for the National League of Cities. So that's how I got on the board. And she did a great job, and I won. So if y'all need a good campaign manager, hire Coop. Get your plug, Linda. But... Great, yeah, $1. But besides that, you know, transportation, they say you're a transportation guru, but I think that Della House will say it right, compromise. You do sit down, you do compromise, but you do listen. I mean, you kind of like Ann Margolin, you listen and you listen and you listen before you say one word. You don't rush into a decision, which that's a good thing. Because sometimes you're hearing, but you're also quick. But you're quick on the due diligence that you have got the knowledge in order to make a decision. And I'm going to miss you, but I'm going to miss you long because you, for some kind of reason, you put me on that task force, the stakeholders for Valley View Shopping Center. So therefore, I'll probably see a whole lot of you in Valley View. But colleagues, I'll tell you one thing. Von Sill said it right. Transportation. She know transportation, but she know people. And that's the key. You can know your subject, but people is people. And London is a person who I put people together. And for some reason, you got the gift to put everybody in one room. And when they leave out, they think they always part of the deal. And so that's a great gift. And many people don't have that gift. But again, I'm going to miss you, but I do have your number. And I do know how to call your friend. And we always, I would tell Linda, there is some, she's a coop, but keep the chick back in the coop. And she know who I'm talking about. Make sure the chick stay back in the coop. And Mary, you know who the chick is. That's an inside story between.
No, but I wouldn't go there either. Okay? Yeah. Like,
but that's a husband. That's a Mr. Coop, but that's what it is. So you make sure you keep the chick in the coop. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Hey, Linda, I just want to say thank you for being a great partner up in Far North Dallas. You have a district that's so far north, it only touches one other district, and that's Linda's district. And if she wasn't so great to get along with, life would be a lot more difficult. So thank you for being a great partner, for always working with me and trying to do all these good things in Far North Dallas.
You're great at transportation, but I think you're great at everything because you do have those people skills. You do have that ability to compromise. I think the city has been so well served by your service, and I hope that you think about serving in some other way, in some other office, because we need folks like you to serve in public roles. So thank you. I've enjoyed working with you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Ms. Morgolin.
Linda, I've known you a long time. I remember when I was first running that you supported me and came out one night and made phone calls at a phone bank. And that always meant a lot to me, and I really have always appreciated that. And then when I first came on the council, you were like my big sister. Like I had joined a new sorority or a new club, and Linda was my big sister. And through the years, you've always been the person that I've gone to when there are tough issues to grapple with, because I so respect your analysis and your point of view. And so those conversations have always meant a lot to me, and they've always guided me. Clearly, you are the master of transportation, and that will be missed. And as others have said, I agree, and I have always been in awe of your ability to see through complex issues and see where people can come together and be comfortable in bringing people together to forge agreements. It's a great skill, and whatever you do in life, you know I'll be there for you. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Morgolin. Mr. Allen.
You know, I hear the word compromise a lot. Well, I'm going to tell you how I first met this young lady. I was on the DART board, and I was elected to be on council, but I was going to stay on DART all the way up to the end so that when I got on council, I'd have some say about who would take my place. Well, lo and behold, Ms. Coop had already did the work and already had the candidate out front. And by the time I show up as a rookie, she'd already laid the groundwork. You know, and I learned about compromise from that lady. And then it wasn't, you know, shortly thereafter, I had a deal, and I was pretty passionate about something. Linda knows what I'm talking about. I was pretty passionate about it, and I think I ruffled maybe a few feathers along the way. And, boy, she came in my office, and she told me how the cow ate the corn. That's compromise. But anyway, those are memories I have of you, Linda. When I will say this, though, I say this all with kindness, obviously, but at the end of the day, you are the statesman for the Dallas City Council. We've heard about how you do want to come through and do really a good deal, make something work on both sides of the fence, and you have that knack to do that. While I have not been able to pick that knack up all the way, I've watched your leadership, and I've tried to get some of that to rub off. But you are the statesman for this council, and it's something that we very much have appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, it all started long before our 8 years here at City Council. You see, my late father, Pancho, would buy his shoes at Linda's dad's shoe store in downtown Dallas. And when he ran for school board, my father supported him. So we've been long political friends for a very long time. So we know that she's the transportation expert, but she is a respected leader in our region. Anytime you go to Denton or you go to RTC or you go to COG, everyone knows Linda Coop. Linda, I appreciate all your calls in just getting my opinion on things that might happen or whether we're changing up a process. And she would definitely always call for my opinion. I don't know if some of you know it. I call her our outdoor athlete. She's always hiking and biking, and of course she went to school in Colorado, so I guess that's where she got that. And she's always a lot of fun. She's always smiling and laughing, and makes you feel good about yourself when you're with her. And I just want to thank you personally for always taking an interest in Michael Daniel. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Medrano. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. You know, I was rushing to get here because we were talking about Linda. And so, you know, they would tell me, hurry up, and and I hurried up to get here, to look you right in your face, tell you, number one, you know I love you to death. And I want people to know, we didn't just meet. And I said this the other day in housing. What folks don't know about us, we've been together for a long time. Back on the park board, we served together. A lot of things that have taken place in park and recreation, they have our names on it, have your handprint and footprints on it. And all the time that I've been here in Dallas City Hall, I've always followed your lead. People think that CW is the one that can get me under control, but it's always been Linda. But it has been. Now, so y'all better try to figure out when she's gone who's going to be sitting beside me. But to the constituents and everybody, you are the jewel. I don't care what you decide to run for, as I told you, should you run for something, and I hope that you will, and I will be publicly supporting you, put my name down. Put it down in advance. Your mom and dad, I know them, your brother, everybody in the Fielding family and your family and the Coop family, you have just been tremendous. We here in Dallas, we're losing, but hopefully somewhere in the state, we're going to gain. And to all of your constituents, you are the one that have carried the load, and you stood the time. You've done every single thing. We got a little turtle thing that nobody knows what we're talking about. But we got some turtles, and our turtles now are kind of going separate ways for just a few moments. But they will meet again. You're talking about integrity, you got it. You're talking about doing your homework, dotting your I's and crossing all the T's and listening to the people. To the folks out north, if you decide to run for governor, I'm voting for you. I want you to know that. Whatever it is that you want to do in life, we can ill afford to miss your expertise representing this city. You've done a great job. I love you to death. All right. And now to nail them and this one over here, Miss Alonza and Carol, they can't stop me like you can. They can't control me like you can. Huh? Hey, they said, show your power and tell me to stop right now. All right. I'm just having fun, but just to let everybody know, I love Linda. Would Linda see us go when it comes to me? Thank you, Linda. Huh?
Well,
how's her hair? Her hair's beautiful all the time.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. I appreciate it. And we'll talk on Monday, Ms. Coop. We'll do that. Let's go into our voting agendas, and let's start with item number 4, and we'll come back to 3.
Item 4, authorize supplemental agreement number 1 to the professional services contract with Moses, Palmer, and Howell, LLP, to provide additional legal services regarding laws pertaining to mineral rights and potential litigation.
And a motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item 5, authorize an amendment to the City of Dallas Design District Grant Program to 1, clarify eligible uses, including a provision for affordable housing, 2, receive and deposit funds in the amount of $524,600 from Alta Block 1500 LLC, pursuant to resolution number 06-2072. For additional housing to be used in accordance with the grant program, and 3, an increase in appropriations in the amount of $524,600.
I'll entertain a motion. We have a second. Any discussion on this? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item 6, authorize an additional payment to the Texas Department of Transportation for the city's share of the preliminary engineering costs for improvements on Hatcher Street from Haskell Avenue to Spring Avenue.
I'll entertain a motion. And a motion and a second. Ms. Medrano and Mr. Caraway. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to item 7. By motioning and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be eligible and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item 7 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and granting a planned development district for certain mixed uses on property zone and IR Industrial Resource District in an area generally bounded by Singleton Boulevard, both sides of Amanette Street, the Union Pacific Railroad, and Parvia Avenue.
And this, are we doing this with item 9 too? We're not. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 191 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area request. We received 45 replies in favor and 5 replies in opposition.
Mr. Mayor, this item requires 2 seconds.
Okay.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC's recommendation to approve item 7?
I just have a question. Is Mayor Rollins, is this West Dallas?
Yes, sir.
West Dallas is under Superfund, Mayor Rollins, by the EPA.
Do we have a clock?
You have a clock?
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Last week when the gays spoke, it was 10 spoke, Mayor Rollins. Didn't nobody ask for a clock last week when the gays spoke. But this week you asked for a clock. I want to acknowledge that before I start speaking too, Mayor Rollins. West Dallas is under Superfund by the EPA. I gave you a court order. I've been giving you a court order. When the city of Dallas sued the RSR lead smelter in West Dallas, I've been giving you a court order since the first day you was on the job, Mayor Rollins. I don't know how many people done died since the 2 years you've been sitting there letting the people die in West Dallas, but I'm going to give it to you again this evening, the court order. And I wonder if we was white, like Frisco, would the media come? They just come for the white people. The media just come for the white people. And this court order been in effect since 1983. And the city of Dallas has let blacks and Hispanics die in West Dallas since 1983, and you sit there because of this white citizen council that run the city of Dallas. They order y'all to sit there and let the blacks die in West Dallas, and y'all get paid and everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes. Yes.
Let me correct.
Hold on, Ms. Mr.
Let me correct the statement I made earlier. 9 needs to be considered. 7 and 9 need to be considered together.
Why don't you read 9 into the record?
Thank you.
And then we'll take your comment.
9, a public hearing to receive comments to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to, 1, change the dimensional classification of Singleton Boulevard from Sylvan Avenue to Canada Drive from a 6-lane divided roadway within 100 feet of right-of-way to a special 4-lane divided roadway with bicycle lanes within 88 feet of the right-of-way. 2, add Baton Street from Singleton Boulevard to Commerce Street to thoroughfare plan as a special 2-lane undivided collector roadway with on-street parking within 54 feet of right-of-way. 3, add Herbert Street from Singleton Boulevard to Commerce Street to the thoroughfare plan as a special 2-lane undivided collector roadway with on-street parking within 56 feet of right-of-way. And 4, add Amanette Street from Singleton Boulevard to Commerce Street to the thoroughfare plan as a 2-lane undivided collector roadway with on-street parking within 54 feet of right-of-way, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Is there anyone else in the audience that's in opposition, to the CPC's recommendation to approve item 7?
You just read seven into the record.
You didn't read 9 into the record.
I spoke on seven,
and then you turn around and read 9 into the record, Mayor Rollins.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mr. Luntz is going to speak first. Mr. Luntz, this is your time.
You want me to speak first?
Your time is starting, Mr.
Luntz. Mayor, I want to say this here. I support Mr. Hopkins when he's talking about the lead.
And matter of fact, we had fertilizer plant, lead plant, oil plant, battery plant. We had everything in West Dallas. But, you know, I've been there for 64 years. I'm 67 years old. I've been in West Dallas since I was 3 years old. And my family got nothing for lead. There's five of us in the family. And what you do, cut the mic off?
Hey, no, the mic's still on, but I'm going to ask you to speak to the relevancy of this issue.
You know what? I'm not going to even do that. I'll just stop speaking.
Thank you.
Because, you know, other people speak, and then I get cut off. So I'm not going to rap with the devil.
Thank you. Mr. Hopkins, do you have something to say on nine?
Yes, sir. You're doing a lot of things in West Dallas. I gave you a court order where the people are dying in West Dallas, but they building streets, moving streets, putting new streets in and all that. And while the people in West Dallas dying, you still sitting on the court order I gave you since the first day you got here. I'm gonna say that again on 7 and 9. And you got a court order where the city's supposed to help us, come and help us. You sued and you got the money, and we dying. Tom Perkins, we was in a meeting
I'm going to need you to stick to nine.
We was in a meeting with Scott Griggs. Tom Perkins told
us that this is the potential
West Dallas and number nine on this agenda.
Thank you for your comment.
Mayor, I got two minutes.
No, you don't. You're not staying on nine. Thank you very much.
One point of personal privilege. And to the lawyers, they'll tell me if I get out of line. And it's not for him. You need to hush now. It really does, lawyers. And come on, because we got y'all tell me just right here so you can tap me when I'm wrong. And this is for this council and this is for this city. It teased me off when we have these public hearings and we get thrown off base. And it truly embarrasses me as an African American when we're not on point, when we're down here trying to take care of business. Now, I spoke up on the other issue that we had before us on last week, and I would not be right if I didn't speak up on every issue and make every issue when it affects this council to stay fair. I would ask that we do something about it, that you all do something about the mannerism that we have, things that are said. I don't really like it when we point out white people all the time and black people and Hispanic. I don't like that. And at certain times, you may have to say certain things, but it embarrasses the hell out of me when I'm fighting hard and I'm working with the very people trying to achieve things on behalf of my community and this city, and we bring division into this room. Somehow, Mayor, and to this council, and to the lawyers, find a way to cut this stuff out.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have an understanding?
Right. Yes.
Find a way to cut it out. I'm tired of being embarrassed when the speakers come to this microphone and beat up people and use all type of outlandish, make all this kind of stuff. And I'm black and I can see it. It's embarrassing. I don't like it. It needs to stop. And y'all need to come and bring the business before this city and challenge us. And take the same thing to the commissioner's court and take it to DISD. Stop coming in here with DISD issues when the Dallas City Council can't do anything about it. Stop coming in here to the Dallas City Council when you have a county issue and go to the state and go to Congress with some of these issues. We cannot solve them, and I'm frankly tired of hearing about them. And if it means that you can bring a topic here, we don't have to hear this topic every single week. It is unfair. So stop it.
Okay, thank you. Did you want to say something, Ms. Williams? What's that?
Motion.
Well, we're not finished with the public hearing.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in favor of the CPC's recommendation to approve this item?
My name is Susan Mead, 901 Main Street, representing West Dallas Investments. I want to thank City Manager Mary Soom for urging the staff to put this on the 19th of June agenda so that the existing council who worked on the plan could hear the case. And I want to thank the city staff for all of their valiant efforts over the last 6 to 8 weeks. They've done a great job. We are in concurrence with the changes to the ordinance that were made this morning. We just handed Laura one other change that she was previously agreed to, so we're happy to support the staff recommendation and the ordinance as presented. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, this item requires 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to move item number 7 and item number 9 forward, please.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you all for this work. This is a very important moment for West Dallas and for, I believe, all of Dallas because of what this is going to provide. Thank you, city staff. Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. And thank you to the private citizens.
Item 8, a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a planned development district for industrial manufacturing district uses and outside metal salvage on property zone IM Industrial Manufacturing District on the west line of South Lamar Street, northeast of the Trinity River.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, we sent 14 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the request. We received one favorable reply and no replies in opposition.
Thank you.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on item 8?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Peter Cavanaugh. My address is 1620 Handley Drive, Dallas, representing Oaken Metals. Mr. Oaken is here. Also, our new next-door neighbor, Bruce Frazier, is here to speak if you would like to hear them. But basically, this is a request to allow Oaken Metals to operate on this property after it solves all the floodplain issues that are clearly on the property now. There is a railroad spur right adjacent to the property that will be used to make this property or make this business more efficient to reduce the number of trucks on the streets in the area. Again, we're clear that we will have to remove floodplain issues before we can actually use the property, but the owner would like to get his zoning clear so that he knows he can safely spend the incredible amount of money he will have to on engineers to resolve the floodplain issues that are clearly resolvable based on preliminary engineering work that's been done. I think I'd stop here and answer any questions you may have. Mr. Fraser's here, happy to speak to you. I believe Marvin Crenshaw is here, happy to speak. And, of course, Mr. Oaken is here as well. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on item 8?
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to make a few comments here today. I am Bruce Fraser. I'm a citizen of South Dallas and have been since 1942 when I was born. My family operates a metal stamping and fabricating plant at 5501 South Lamar between the old TP and Southern Pacific tracks. Lewis is trying to be able to open his yard behind us in what used to be the old Valley Steel place, and we'd love to have him down there to help offset some of the other activities that we're enjoying down there now. The trash that's thrown out every night and et cetera. If we can get Mr. Ocon as a neighbor, it will help solidify that whole area as a place where people can work and get a decent wage and pay taxes. Aside from the dairy, we're probably the only industrial thing in that part of town. We'd love to have Lewis down there with us. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X. And just for a side, on this Juneteenth day, I come to speak as a free man. But I come here in support of Oakon Metals. I do business there on my little recycling business. And I think it's the right time, it's the right place and at the right time. So thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on item 8?
I am Lewis Oaken, 6622 Glendora Avenue. And I'm the applicant. Thank you for
the opportunity to speak. I'm really here just to answer any questions if there are any. You know, this piece of property has all the characteristics when we look for a place to operate our business. It's not near any homes or any kind of housing, never will be. It's on heavy rail, which will help reduce the freight on the roads. It's large enough to bring all of our customers on the site. It's at the very end of the road. It's in a heavy industrial zoned area. It's near our customer base. It's near downtown. It has nothing but heavy industrial neighbors. We look forward to making this property productive with taxes and jobs, recycling services, reducing crime and loitering in the area, and beautifying the property and in general just helping improve that area. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oakham.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on item 8? No further speakers.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor, so much. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following changes, removing the requirement for a traffic management plan.
Second. Do we have to have 2 seconds?
No.
Just one? We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item 10. It's a public hearing to receive comments on authorizing a public hearing to determine proper zoning on property zone and NSA Neighborhood Service District with specific use permit number 1006 for a motor vehicle fueling station on property bound by West Page Avenue, South Tyler Street, and South Tyler Street connection, southbound, with considerations given to incorporating the property into a previously authorized hearing for Plan Development District Number 316, the Jefferson Area Special Purpose District, and establishing appropriate zoning regulations, including use, development standards, parking, landscape sign, and other appropriate regulations. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on item 10? No speakers.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Hasso. And a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Item number 3.
Item 3, a resolution appointing A.C. Gonzalez as interim city manager for the City of Dallas and setting the compensation.
So moved.
Motion.
I'm sorry. Who made the motion and second?
I think Mr. Carraway was the first motion and Mr. Medrano was second.
Thank you.
Any discussion on this item? Thank you. Yes, Ms. Okay, please. All right. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, this concludes your afternoon agenda.
Okay, thank you very much. Before we do go to the next speakers, I think Ms. Davis wants to say something.
Ms. Medrano.
Our Mayor Pro Tem.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano.
Yeah, I'll do the list.
First of all, I want to say I have just thoroughly enjoyed working with you. You've done a wonderful job on public safety. You have worked hard as our Mayor Pro Tem, Medrano. You have been all smiles. You don't let things get next to you. I never shall forget. We was in a heated debate on something, and you came to me and said, "Calm down, Ms. Davis. It's going to be okay." And I needed that day, and I really appreciate you. You have a wonderful district. You love your district. You're just all in. And so you have done a wonderful job, and I wish you the best. I wish you the best. I think it's the way to go. It's the way you're going out the right way. And so I have enjoyed working with you as my colleague and as my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Carraway.
Hey, thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano.
Pauline, you taught me a lot. You taught me how to smile when folks were making me mad. You taught me how to sit up in my seat and keep my pose correct, because the cameras were always watching. And you also showed me how to care for the community and how to care for people. It's one thing I'll say now that I am going to miss, and we will probably see you, but a lot of folks may always remember the cat suit. When the hat and the cat, we're gonna miss your hat and the cat, cat and the hat, and all of those things. But your daddy, Pancho, my friend, Linda's friend, we served on the park board with your dad, Pancho. And Pancho set the tone. And they say it does not fall far from the tree, in which Pancho raised a beautiful, high-quality young lady. I wish you all the luck in the future with whatever it is you're going to undertake. Dallas will be short if we do not keep you involved in some capacity. You're going to stay involved. We know that because it's in your blood. And I want you to know that I'm there for you. I appreciate all the times, all the things that you've taught me, have shown me, and have made me kind of behave and get through and have a much better understanding. But without that leadership, where would I be? The Latino community, certainly they have a leader that is committed and sincere, all the way from the census, walking in the neighborhood, to talking and dealing with people with the big problems and the little bitty problems. You've always shown up. So just want to acknowledge that publicly. Wish you all the luck in the world, okay? And we're going to miss you.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Ms. Coop.
Well, Pauline and I do go back a long way. You know, it's kind of fun to see people as they grow up and everything. And I've known the Medrano family for quite some time, and our fathers were friends. And what they used to do was try to form political alliances and political committees. And, you know, it's interesting how things come around and go around, because people nowadays think, oh, I'm going to form a political committee. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, that old news, that happened 50 years ago. And one of the more notable things was when they were looking to have single-member districts for school board. And they worked very closely on trying to get single-member districts for school board. Why it was important is so there'd be representation of in the minority community on the school board. And education was very important to your dad, as it was to my dad. And I think that's just sort of passed along from generation to generation. You know, a lot of people don't know, and I think I may have made the announcement here, that Pauline is very famous on the national level. She has a position with the education part of the Hispanic leadership, Nahalo, am I saying it right?
Naleo.
And I want to announce today, too, that she's won something else, and it's just really an honor, because, you know, we don't know a lot of people that go on the national stage, and so it's just really kind of fun for us to be able to enjoy your successes that you've had. So on Monday afternoon, she learned that a national appointment to the Census Bureau National Advisory Committee on Racial and Ethnic and Other Populations will officially announce, actually tomorrow, that she will be on this board, and she will have that appointment. She had an appointment to the Census Board previous to this, during the time that we're doing the census. This is a process that she's worked hard on and is recognized nationally by, and she will continue her good work through the Census Board on this national stage again. We're very proud of you, Pauline. You know, there's not anybody else in the city that can say those kinds of things, that, you know, you had these national appointments, and we're just very, very proud of you. And it's because of your hard work. Now, some of you may know, Pauline put in 5,000 service requests. Oh, you know, okay. Herself. And I'm not kidding, not with other staff, herself. every weekend and every afternoon she would go out, and on Sundays especially, and she would get out of her car and go over to that light pole, and you have to write down the number on the light pole, right? In order to get the light switch back on, replaced, or whatever. And that's not only, yeah, it's just one of those small service requests, but she has done so many service requests. Her district is a better place for it. I've talked to a lot of the business owners in the district. You know, she represents huge institutions like Parkland, Wright, children, so on and so forth. But no one escapes her eye, because they all just respect her. So huge institutions all the way down to the small business owner and the small community activist and community volunteer. So, Pauline, my hat's off to you because of all your civic involvement. We know that you're going to go on to do other things besides this. We all know that, and one of these days you're going to be announcing something else. I just know it. So, and we'll just be there to cheer you on, too. I appreciate your friendship. I do love your beautiful grandchild, as I call him, Michael Daniel. He is the smartest kid ever. No joke. This kid is the smartest kid I've ever met in my life. So thank you for sharing him with me, and your wonderful boyfriend, Daniel. He's just such a terrific guy. You know, I'm not going to miss you. You're not going far, so thank you.
Ms. Alonso.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Madam Mayor, thank you so very much for everything that you taught me these 2 years. It's been a great experience. I know I learned a lot, and I know every time, and we've known because of the way we were raised, that there's only one way to find things out, and that is to ask, and that's something that we work together on. So I'm very appreciative. I thank you for the guidance that you gave me when I first walked in, even though I was told more or less, you know, it's not until you get here is when you really know what all is going on, not to mention dress code. But that's another story. But thank you very much for everything, and I really appreciate everything that you did working with me. Most of all, the respect that we had is the most important. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pauline, you and I share so much area geographically. We share downtown. We share Oaklawn, Cedar Springs. We share Lower Greenville, and we've gotten to work so closely in all of those areas, and just like yin and yang. And it's been great to work with you. We've never had a disagreement on how we focus on these neighborhood issues, and it's just been a pleasure to get to work with you on that. It's not always been easy to work on those challenges, because we've had, especially in Lower Greenville and Cedar Springs when we were having the traffic accidents, but we got together and pulled staff in and got to work together on those issues, and your leadership there was just terrific, and you were a great partner to work with. But one of the things that has truly impressed me the most in working with you the last 8 years, and that I've learned from, is, and I don't know if the public always sees this about you, but you are so knowledgeable and so active in your neighborhoods. And you know, we heard mentioned the service request, and I don't know if the public understands what that means. What that means is Pauline goes through her neighborhoods day after day, night after night, all across her district, and she'll go there with her phone and say, there's a light out at the corner of Bonita and Mandera, or there, you know, there is a pothole on Reagan Avenue in the 7500 block, or whatever it is. And you go and do that throughout your district, and you've done that for 8 years. And it's not glamorous. You know, there aren't TV cameras on you. You don't get a story in the paper about that, but that's the everyday hard work of a council member that's so admirable and that makes such a difference in people's everyday lives, and I've admired you so much for that. Also, something that I've learned from you is when you feel passionately about an issue and you fight for it and you work hard for it and you take a strong stand, after we vote on that, that issue is gone and behind you. And you move on to the next one. And the people who disagreed with you on that and that you fought with rigorously, you're friends again. And you just, you know, you go have lunch with them and say, let's go grab a drink, or let's go, you know, grab some coffee. And it's just very admirable how you parse the personal from the professional. And it's a lesson for all of us. And again, I've tried to learn from you on that. And you're just so remarkably
politically savvy in the way you approach issues, and just very strategic and very smart. It's just been an honor to work with you and learn from you. I will miss you, Pauline, and I look forward to years to come, seeing you on other stages. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're wrong.
Absolutely. Poncho would be proud. I don't believe there could be any higher accolade than to say that Poncho would be proud. You have carried the Medrano tradition wonderfully well. Poncho had the opportunity to work with Jack Kennedy and Cesar Chavez. And you just kept coming when Joe Biden and Barack Obama came on the stage. You just marched right up there, and you worked with them. Poncho would be proud. You do make 1811 gazillion service requests. We can't do that, but we admire you for it, and we know that the people of your district are better for it. You care about all of the people. You sit well with the women under the bridge and the queens in England. Poncho would be proud. You are indeed your father's daughter as well as your mother's child. I will look for you on the hill. All the best. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Judge. Ms. Margolin.
Pauline, it has been a pleasure to work with you these past 4 years. As others have said, I admire so much the hard work you do for your district. But the thing that I want to comment on is my observation of you these past 2 years as Mayor Pro Tem. You have done a magnificent job representing the city. I have seen you time and time again on some occasions where you're called upon at the last minute and don't have a prepared script, and you wing it, and you do it beautifully. I have seen you in difficult situations. I've seen you where something is uncertain, and you just march right up there, and you are perfect. And I always have felt absolutely comfortable that you are representing the city in a really beautiful way. And so I want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Ms. Margolin. Mr. Adkins.
Anne, you said it right, Anne. She always prepared, even though it seems like she is not prepared, but she is, though. And that's one thing I admire, Anne. But one thing about Pauline, you know, if she tell you she'll with you and she'll support you, you can go to the bank now. I mean, she is not a person who's going to tell you something, then you go down the road and she changed her mind. I mean, many times that I come to Pauline in very, very difficult issues, she said, don't worry, it's under control, you're going to be all right. But one thing, she is one of the persons I learned from her, before you make a decision, do all your homework. Do all your homework, ask all the hard questions before you make the decision, because you might make the decision and you regret in the long run. By service request, tell your story. Pauline and I were driving down the street. So I picked up a phone called Joey. And I said, Joey, you know, I'm with Pauline. What is the service request number now? What's the number of the poll? I mean, it seemed like everybody in the city, though, when you're with Pauline Medrano, she's going to ask for what lights, what light is out on what pole, what pothole, and what street. And it's just automatic. I mean, and that's something that, you're talking about customer service. I mean, that is customer service. But she don't do it out just in her district. She do it out the whole city of Dallas. She might be downtown. She might be in North Dallas. She might be over there in District 8 and UNT. But she used that phone. It's amazing. Mary don't know how she do it. But when she called the park, they answered the phone for Pauline Medrano. And it seemed like they're on the top three. But I'm going to miss you, Pauline, but the key is that you're not going too far, and you all will be here. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. Ms. Hassel.
Thank you, Mayor. Pauline, in these last 4 years that I've been on the council with you, I've
just want to thank you for your guidance. I remember my first week after I was elected, she said, make sure you don't wear high heels all the time. And then I did, and I broke my foot. So I learned very early to take her guidance and make sure I followed it. But no, truly, you've been a great friend. I've gotten to know you a lot better these 4 years. We actually went to the same high school and graduated the same year. So again, thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being there and letting me bounce ideas and things off of you. And I look forward to your next wonderful place. And hopefully I'll be there with you and you can count on me for supporting you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Councilman Hassel, you were on the drill team, weren't you?
Was
you're on the drill team too?
I was the captain.
Captain, how cool is that? The style and presentation. There's no saying out there. It's not how you drive; it's how you ride. And look, it looks like a peacock sitting right there already. The model councilman. No question about it. One of the memories, and I've shared memories with everybody about all the other ones too, but one of the memories, we do have to be on stage a lot, and we walk up and we don't know what's going to happen. We just, it just comes out. And so, and that's what's so cool because each and every one of us, we're on stage and we're watching the other ones. And so you build this camaraderie that you've got. But we were on stage once and we stood up, you stood up, and you basically just said, what an honor. What an honor it is to be a Dallas City Councilman. There's only 14 of us in the city of Dallas. What an honor. And the way you said that, style and presentation, the way you said that just stuck with me that it is an honor. It is an honor. And you've always carried yourself giving the advice of being a councilman, what it's about, how should you be a councilman. That's why I use the word model councilman. So, I do love you, and you've been one tremendous asset again to this city, and will continue to do so. So,
thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you. Unlike a lot of others, I didn't know you when I came on, but you were one of the very first people to come and welcome me and give me advice, and I appreciated that. I served on public safety with you for 2 years and watched you do a terrific job with that, Pauline. I mean, your emphasis on preventing crime, I think, made a real difference and helped make this a safer city. I know you started, I don't know how many crime watch groups, and really, really worked at it, and kudos to you for all that you did to help us be a safer city. And then I wanted to tell you, too, that as others have said, watching you represent us as Mayor Pro Tem with your grace and your class was wonderful for the city of Dallas. And I think we all learned how to get up on a stage and say gracious, wonderful remarks on the spur of the moment. It's a talent that you have, and it is much appreciated, and I will miss serving with you. I have enjoyed it very much, and I think it's just wonderful how you just get along with everybody.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson, and I might say to all the council, excuse me, Ms. Gray, I thought I had you. You hadn't spoken? I checked you off, Mr. Kadane. See, she usually does this. She usually does this.
She checked me off because she didn't want me talking.
You had the last word.
Yes. Well, I sat by your side on public safety and did a fabulous job. I don't think it could have gone any better or will. I won't tell you. Anyway, what you've done in the city has been uncomfortable. You've done a great job. You've grown up here. I've known you forever. And I feel like you're a sister because I've grown up with your family down at work and everything. And I've gone to you many times, tried to talk with you about certain things. And sometimes you say, yeah, we can do that. But most of the time, when you're on your point, and you've got a point to make. There is, and I've got four sisters, and you're just like them. There's no way I'm going to win. So I said, okay, I'm leaving. But anyway, I'll tell you what, I've known you for years. I love you. I'm very proud of your national rapport, what you've done. And this council is proud of that because that uplifts us. Yeah. So you've done a great job, and I know you're going to still be around somewhere. You're not through. I think there's things for you to do. So anyway, you keep that up, and you're not going far, and we're not going to let you get away.
Thank you.
Thank you. We love you.
Thank you, Mr. Cadena. I apologize. And I just want to add that I think listening to the comments of the council today in regard to these five stellar women reconfirms my belief that we've got a quality council, not only talking about the women, but the way the love and affection and support was given today. So for those of you who made comments, thank you very much for that. With that, let's take our afternoon speakers, and we'll be adjourning.
Our afternoon speakers will begin with Brandon Benson, Mary Gleason, and Frank Ward. I'll now recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant-at-arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timers on both walls. When your time is up, please allow the next speaker their turn and address all comments to Mayor Rawlings. Your first speaker is Brandon Benson, not present, Mary Gleason. Ms. Gleason will be followed by Frank Ward and Ozumba Lunt.
My name is Mary Gleason. I have two children.
Ms. Gleason, could you pull the microphone down close to your mouth so we can listen to you?
And please state your name and address for the record.
Mary Gleason. I live at 1053 Cascade Street, in apartment U in Mesquite. I have a 25-year-old disabled son and an 8-year-old daughter, and I was on Dallas Housing. My son has had 4 brain surgeries, 2 strokes. He got into an altercation. It wasn't really an altercation with my boyfriend's son. And I told Housing, like you should, yes, he'd been arrested. The charges were dropped. And they took my housing away from me. So at the end of this month, I'm going to be with my kids on the street. Housing asked me to provide an affidavit, which I could not because I call him my stepson. This is a brand new job for him. He has a baby on the way. But he gave me a notarized statement. I have statements that I turned into Housing from all of my son's neurologists. And I went to my congressman and my senator, and they said to come and talk to you and that maybe you could help me.
Yeah. Have you spoken to the Dallas Housing Authority?
Yes. And they terminated me.
Miss Gleason called my office. She's not in my district. That's her daughter that's sitting back there, and that's her son who's disabled. If you can meet with her and find out, because I don't think it was over an argument, and she's been, from my understanding, on DHA for a number of years, and this is her first time having problems with them. So if you can just meet with her and find out what's going on. My concern is the small child, which is her daughter, and the disabled child.
Thank you. I'll have somebody from my office contact you, and we'll get your story.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker, Frank Ward. Not present, Ozumba Lunt. Mr. Ozumba Lunt will be followed by William Hopkins and Robert Ceccarelli.
Merrill, I would like to respectfully say that my 3 minutes were interrupted again. Also, I thought the city of Dallas for where the lead was in West Dallas. I've been there 64 years, like I said. I'm 67 now. All my kids were born there, my two kids. And a lot of people didn't get their property cleaned up from the lead. A lot of people didn't get settlements. Anytime the lead was emitted out upon the public, they should have got something if it were $1. I think the city would have been better off a long time ago if they'd have gave everyone $100 or $50 or $1. They wouldn't be having this problem today, and they should have done that because they got away with not taking care of people who should have been taken care of. And they didn't clean the property. Just about 7 years ago, I had a piece of property cleaned not too far from me for a lead, and the city fixed the house up, and we have had it all around it now. Okay. Some are angry. Some say nothing. Some are afraid. I believe the city should look into it. Take a look at it. Redress it. Look back into it. Because I think it'll help. I don't think it'll hurt anything, whether you do anything or not. But you all are city council members, and you all are supposed to look at these problems we bring to you all, and this is not the county or the state or anything. I would like for the news media, if they would like to talk to me after 26th of this month. I may have something to say to them. I would also like the news media, if they would like to talk to me after the 9th of September. I may have something to say to them. Okay? We're living in Revelation. Watch. I said, we're living in Revelation. Watch. Climate control, earthquakes, all these things transpiring. No one never wants to say God or the devil if God is letting the devil do it. Are we afraid? When are we going to recognize there is a God, an almighty God, our Father, have control of everything? I praise the Lord. I love God. I love everybody. And I try to be fair, and I don't, you know, but I have to say what I have to say. So, Merrill, I'm finished with what I had to say. I thought we had 3 minutes. If you want to change the rule, I think Mr. Calway can try to change the rule. I have no problem with that. Change it for everybody. We should be able to speak like everyone else. I think the poor people come down here, they're not heard and they're not recognized. That's not good. You pay for it one way or other. One thing about it, you better hope God don't love his children, because if God don't love his children, you're going to pay for it. This is a temporary life. The life to come is everlasting. Don't mess with God's children. Some laying on a bed with millions of dollars, got 3 or 4 houses, big pools, Rolls Royce, Mercedes. Wish they had what we had. I suffer with cancer, and I still have some, and we'll see how it turns out, but God has been keeping me. God bless you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Lawrence.
William Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins will be followed by Robert Ceccarelli in LaCoya, London.
Mayor Rollins, this is the same court order I've been giving you from day one. Before I get started, though, Mayor Rollins, the White Citizen Council, it's been alleged that the White Citizen Council is running the city, the county, and the state, and whatever. So it was founded by R.L. Thornton. R.L. Thornton was alleged Ku Klux Klansman, alleged. These same people is running the city today, so let's see if they still care about blacks, see if they still treat blacks back then as the way they still treat blacks now. So I say they running the city, so I asked you, we was talking about Maddie Nash Park, so I asked you, Mayor Rollins, Mayor Rollins, could you go by Maddie Nash Park? We was arguing and fussing. Just go by there, get out your car, Mayor Rollins, and walk up to Maddie Nash Park and just look at it and see. I've been down here 15 years. For the black kids that needed a park in Maddie Nash. So I asked you to, you know, go up there and walk up there and look at the park. You know, council member was saying that was one of the beautifulest parks it is, and I said that was a lie. And so I want you to go and look and see. Have you been up there, Mayor Rollins? You just come back from Australia somewhere. Have you been to the Maddie Nash Park and walked up there and looked at the swings and looked at the little playground I told you that was pitiful, that's worth about $50? Have you been up there, Mayor Rollins? Have you saw it? Is it one of the nicest parks in West Dallas?
This is for me to listen to you.
Uh, You want me to? They wanted me to go and try to get the state to help us and the federal government to help us with the, with this court order I just gave you, Mayor Rollins. Have you asked Mary Soon? Have you seen any of the people that Tom Perkins said he did on this court order? He told me and Scott Griggs. We had a meeting with Scott Griggs. Tom Perkins told me and Scott Griggs that they've been writing the courts and letting the courts. They've been doing everything due to this court order. Have you seen anybody that they did on this court order for his health concern from Mary Soon, the manager? So she had to show you a check or some kind of document to show what they've been doing to people in West Dallas. Have you saw one person? I gave you this court order the first day you got here, Mayor Rollins. Have you saw at least one person in West Dallas that due to this court order that Mary Soon and Tom Perkins did? You got to sit there because of the white city council. This is what y'all are supposed to do. Sit around, let the blacks die. That's what the white Ku Klux Klan, white city council do for the county the same way. The state, Rick Perry, all of them letting us die. And his daddy got a sign saying by the nigger, something by the nigger sign on his daddy's lot. What I supposed to say, the N-word? Well, his daddy wrote it. Rick Perry's daddy wrote it. But I can't say it? That what you're saying? I can listen. Rick Perry's daddy wrote it, but I can't say it.
Your time's up. Thank you.
Next speaker is Robert Ceccarelli. Not present. LaCoya London. Ms. London will be followed by Herbert Wilborn.
Hello. Happy Juneteenth, everybody. You know, I'm supposed to be at the park right now, but I told everybody I'm coming right after I leave here. Okay. I have a book right here. Y'all might not know nothing about this book. It's called Crossing the Danger Water. This is 300 years of African-American writing, you know. I mean, from 1790 on to now, you know. A lot of people, they see the stuff. I have a library in my closet, you know. And a lot of kids, they see it and they be like, wow, where you get this stuff from? But I'm going to move on because I wanted to read something that was written in 1919 in the crisis. And it states, those still visibly tingled with their blood are still enslaved by compulsory ignorance, disfranchisement, and public insult in sackcloth and ashes. Then we commemorate this day, lest we forget, lest a single drop of blood, a single moan of pain, a single bead of sweat in all these three long, endless centuries should drop onto oblivion. We must remember because if once the world forgets evil, evil is reborn. Because if the suffering of the American Negro is often forgotten, then there is no guerdon done to the last pulse of time. That devils will not again enslave and maim and murder and oppress the weak and unfortunate. Okay, that's happening right now, you know, in Dallas, Texas. You know, we got the oppressed and the weak. And I'm going to start off with Clinton Allen, you know, an unarmed man shot down. You know, I had to tell Miss Flanagan, I forgot, you know, I came up here the other day and I forgot to just tell her, thank you for letting me come participate. Thank you for calling me and telling me, hey, Miss London, would you like to participate in this? Yes, of course. You know, we're not going to keep letting these young black men get shot down, you know, because for 300 years, you know, I mean, it's been happening 300 years. You know, we tired of it, you know. We don't want our kids hurt. My daughter was beat up, you know, on tape. They sent it to Greg Abbott, a man that ain't doing nothing for kids because you got prisoners working for the state, and they ain't sending no child support to the kids. So can you make me understand that? But that's because the private sector doing their thing and the public sector doing their thing. But anyway, I want Chief Miller and Chief Brown to understand that, you know, we don't want our kids hurt, you know, Chief Miller with DISD. And tell Dwayne Carraway, yeah, we're going to come down here about DISD. We're going to come down here about DPD. We're going to come down here about all of them because they're public servants that are hurting people. So quit gambling on our lives because that's what he's doing, gambling on the public, the citizens' lives. He's gambling on it because that's what he do, gamble.
Have a next speaker, Herbert Wilborn. Not present. Mr. Mayor, this concludes your afternoon speaker.
And the last meeting of this council is adjourned.
It is 2:27. The Dallas City Council has adjourned.